now here we are. You know, we didn't simulate this. We didn't practice.
On behalf of our partners in the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
So both the health policies and economic policies, we find ourselves in uncharted territory.
It's become clear that people in this country and globally have been steamrolled. It is also clear that it has been coordinated globally. It is also clear that it has been integrated, not just over 6 months, not just over 2.5 years, but it has been planned over decades. The changes to legislation in this country were done so that they could control doctors and people. We know, and we knew, that this is all bullshit and that we've been had. But we are going to hound you down, the people that are guilty. We are going to hound you down and hold you accountable, and we will expose your global agenda.
Ever wonder how a full-spectrum pandemic response apparatus, vaccines, surveillance, grids, massive financing streams, and unaccountable governance seem to materialize overnight in 2020 as if it had been sitting on an Event 201 tabletop exercise waiting for the right crisis?
We have to put in place an infrastructure, not just here at home, but globally, that allows us to see it quickly, isolate it quickly, respond to it quickly, so that if and when a new strain of flu, like the Spanish flu, crops up 5 years from now or a decade from now, we've made the investment.
The blueprint wasn't born in haste during COVID. Roots trace back much earlier, buried in documents from the now-released Jeffrey Epstein files. A 14-page J.P. Morgan Chase proposal known as Project Molecule, crafted in collaboration with the Gates Foundation. An outline of a permanent, privately controlled transnational entity designed to govern biological interventions across sovereign borders. It proposed a self-perpetuating structure with offshore arms, donor anonymity, and billions funneled into vaccines and surveillance, all shielded from public oversight or electoral accountability. Thanks in large part to the research done by Sire G, we now know the proposed power players read like a globalist who's who. These were overlords steering nations, institutions, and capital flows. Now they were being positioned to oversee biology itself. No term limits, no FOIA, no voters to answer to. That same year, 2011, the CIA ran a fake hepatitis vaccination campaign to hunt bin Laden's DNA, an op that blew up trust in foreign health programs and got workers killed. Yet, here was J.P. Morgan and Gates proposing to bankroll foreign-funded biosurveillance in the exact same terrain, engineered by the same elite network Epstein was coaching behind the scenes.
But I can tell you that with the money I gave to help try to eradicate polio in Pakistan and India, instead of asking me whether that money should be given to these children for vaccines, I think you might want to ask their mothers who received the vaccine, who know their child now won't get polio, and ask them if Epstein should have helped these people.
Project Molecule didn't plan the pandemics, but it did organize eugenics into an investable, governable asset class, all fused under private mandates with zero built-in checks against self-interest. The real question isn't what did they do with that power, it's what mechanism exists to stop them from abusing it today. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and an analyst and a futurist and father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, it just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
Here we have a lot of exclusive stuff breaking. We're very excited that you're jumping on board with us today. You may have seen it on my X page yesterday. There was big news happening over here at InfoWars. Alex Jones, well, he's clapping back when it comes to his lawsuit. As many of you guys know, it's the Sandy Hook lawsuit that I'm referring to. Alex had several of his constitutional rights violated in all of this, and he's answering back by now filing a lawsuit of his own. It is his second amended counterclaim in the bankruptcy court right now. That was just filed yesterday in Houston, Texas, at the federal level. And Alex is joining us now live to discuss. Alex, I'm glad you're here right now and you're going to detail for our audience exactly what this means. I know there were several constitutional rights that you personally had violated in all of this. So break down your latest filing.
Well, most of the regular listeners know the incredible 6-7 year saga of the deplatforming, the demonization, Bloomberg's gun control group being behind it. They raised with their Sandy Hook charities over $300 million off of my name, saying I was persecuting them and I wasn't. They then sued me. They had two political judges default me, saying I was guilty, didn't comply with discovery. In our lawsuit, we showed none of that's true. And then we show how the Justice Department was involved with their chief counsel in Connecticut. They admit going and setting up the suit, recruiting the people, and then all the things that happened after that, particularly with the judge in Connecticut. And that's the basic conspiracy against rights. And when people team up with the state to deprive someone of their rights. And we've seen this with Mike Lindell last year. He was defaulted by the federal judge in Minnesota. Anybody can type in, judge finds Mike Lindell guilty in Smartmatic case. Mm-hmm. And the judge didn't see any evidence, nothing, just said you cannot connect to a Smartmatic machine wirelessly or to the internet. Well, they're designed to do that, but he wouldn't see the evidence. Now Smartmatic's in a lot of trouble. There's been indictments, same thing with Dominion. Now they've dropped their cases on others. They've tried to now settle with Lindell. He announced 2 weeks ago on my show, and he said no way. He's going to go ahead with the jury trial later this year in Minnesota, where the judge has already found him guilty. But good luck, because now this is all going to be known. There it is. Judge rules my pillow guy, Mike Lindell, defends Smartmatic with false claims. So that's a default. That's only supposed to be if you, like, leave the country and don't respond at all. As Mike Cernovich, great lawyers, pointed out, he went and looked at the case years ago. I went to dozens of different depositions, close to about a dozen. I gave them everything. And when you actually read in our suit, they show how they defaulted me. They said that I would show them the Sandy Hook marketing material. Well, you work at InfoWars. There isn't marketing material for stories you cover. I don't even know what stories you're about to cover every day. You're a well-known journalist and reporter. Mm-hmm. So they said, no, we know you have that. That was one of the reasons. We tried to depose Hillary Clinton. They said that was another reason we were defaulted. And then they said that we wouldn't give them Google Analytics. Google Analytics is just an internal Google search engine of your website. Okay, so we barely ever even used it. Don Salazar, one of our writers, occasionally would see how his stories were doing. I never use it. Anybody can see that around the office. Everybody testified to that. They said, show us your Sandy Hook Google Analytics that I talked about Sandy Hook to make money. I barely ever talked about it, but that was the basis of their suit before they got me defaulted. Then they used all the stuff that they twisted in the show trials they had in Texas and Connecticut there was all the so-called discovery. And the best they had was other people's emails unopened to us saying mean things about Sandy Hook people. That was all they had to show the jury, was people had ever opened the emails talking bad about them. Wow, that's terrible. I never said the names of any of the Sandy Hook families except one guy. They said it's the families. That's 20 families. It was only six people, not the families. They set up foundations that, again, raised over $300 million off of my name. It turned out the Justice Department funded the lawsuits to the exact amounts they were being billed to them with grants each time they were going to trial. So this is all in this lawsuit. And so when you read, it's called a counterclaim because we're already in a lawsuit with them. We've already filed one against them in the bankruptcy court. But this is amended with all the information we learned in the depositions with them in the last year and a half to great expense. And so this goes into all the different things that went on. Lawyers from the Paul Weiss Law Firm and others openly saying from the Koskoff firm and from the other Bankston firm that we don't want money. We want him off the air. We never want him to be able to do it again. We want to use him as patient zero to do this to other people. And now they've done it to Giuliani. They've done it to Mike Lindell. They've done it to countless people that are now totally vindicated on the Smartmatic and Dominion area. So the worm is turning here, and now we're going specifically into federal court, and we are saying we want it removed to another federal court out of the bankruptcy. And I'm not a lawyer, so I'm going for best of my knowledge here. People should read it themselves. And we are presenting all of this, and it gets worse. One of the biggest parts of the suit is they would quote things in a filing that were not even real quotes, things I never said, that were quotes out of a newspaper article that were never said. So I would say, I believe children died the few times I cover it, but this person is saying blah, 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 blah. They would cut that off. We've gone through all the videos at incredible expense for over a year and a half. I've got really high-powered, well-known lawyers that have won very, very many of these cases, very famous defamation cases as well, like Ben Brooks and then other top, fraud lawyers and bankruptcy lawyers like Shelby Jordan. People can look them up, very famous, well-known, respected lawyers. They've never seen anything like this. He was just involved in my bankruptcy the last 3 years. And as he saw this, he said, well, we're going to have to take action. And then in the last 3 years, he studied it all. And a whole bunch of craziness happened, fake auctions, all the rest of it. He then deposed him about that, found out what happened behind the scenes. I mean, this is incredible how reckless the bad guys were. And so not all the courts are corrupt. We know that. And so we are moving to get this, suit into a full trial, because bankruptcy courts aren't designed to do full trials. And we want a full trial, not on overturning their fake judgments, their kangaroo trials, but on the fact they were kangaroo trials and a conspiracy with the state against a journalist and against a citizen in their own express admissions. So then all the damages and everything they've done to me are then reversed against them. And we have more we're planning. We have a lot we didn't obviously, show here in this hand. I'll just leave it at that. But we have very devastating information, ace of spades, multiple ones that are held back. And so this is a big deal. And that's why when listeners support us at thealexjonesstore.com that I don't own, so even if they're able to shut down InfoWars, which is imminent next month, they're trying again. They failed like five or six times. Thealexjonesstore.com with the supplements, the T-shirts, the rest of it, that funds the new network, the crew, the reporters, and the legal operations. So this is real war. And by hanging in, by folks praying for us, by the crew putting up with all the insanity that they put up with, being deposed, harassed, all the rest of it, my family as well. They sued my family, and, of course, nothing was found there. They accused me in the federal bankruptcy courts and others of having hundreds of millions of hidden money. Turned out everything I said was true. They had me audited by three outside high-powered accounting firms, made us pay for it out of the estate. Money should be going to them. It never goes to them. It's any money they get, which is in over $10 million so far in my memory now around that. They then shove into the court to have three different huge outside accounting firms, one of them international, private investigators. And then the IRS audited us for a year, intense audit, found that I'd overpaid taxes $4.3 million in the last 5 years previous to that. That went into the estate. So that was money that went into the estate. And then they basically told the U.S. trustee, the Justice Department, to come into the bankruptcy. They can do that if they want to just basically use it against us. They then sued my parents, drove them to the edge of bankruptcy. They're on the verge of losing their house. They have absolutely basically nothing anymore. They weren't even involved in anything. Didn't matter. They alleged that I had hidden all this money with them. Turned out it was exactly as I said. In fact, I actually owed my dad a little bit of money. And so what they got was a little farm that I never knew that time to go to, a tiny lake house I bought like 15 years ago. So from me, like, you know, $3.5 million worth of real estate and nothing else. And they claimed I had hundreds of millions of dollars in the trials. In the Texas trial, we couldn't respond. I was guilty already. So they put a guy on for a day and a half who never reviewed our files, never even seen our tax returns. We could not respond. And he said, Mr. Jones is worth hundreds of millions of dollars. You know, he's hiding it all. And the jury we talked to later said, we decided you hadn't done anything that bad. So we gave him 10% of your wealth. So since you were worth $360 million, the guy said, with no documents, we gave him $45 million. And of course, you know, the best years I've ever had, I made like $6-7 million, and I had to make that because of all the lawsuits. I had to make more money to pay the lawyers. So, you know, in most years of my life, I've made like $1 million, $1.5 million. My goal has never been to make money, but they said all this to create this illusion that I made all this money off them and that I had all this money hidden. And so they put me through this endless gauntlet and my family through this endless gauntlet. And of course, none of it was ever true. And then they were the ones holding a fake auction and telling the judge it was an auction and then selling it to themselves basically for nothing. And then saying the Onion owned it and kicking us out of the building. But we went and filed with the federal judge. He said, no, this isn't a real auction. You said it was, but it wasn't. The Onion went on TV funded by Bloomberg and Everytown Gun Control Group, and said, that they did own it. And of course, before that, that was in November of 2024. That's how long we've held on. In May 31st, before that, the previous U.S. trustee from the Justice Department called up the private security company we've had for like almost 10 years. Just a few armed guys in the building, you know, with handguns. They've got rifles and shotguns in their gun locker. But they called the parent company and said, I am a U.S. federal agent. You are going to go on this Friday night. You're going to shut the building out and kick them all out. And the head of the company said, well, I need a court order or a warrant or something. And they said, no, I am a federal officer. You must do it. And so I talked to them. They said, no, we're not doing it. But I figured they'd try again. So they tried to basically get another security company to come in. Well, we got into court a few weeks later. The judge said, this is incredible. He fired the U.S. trustee. He fired the CRO over the bankruptcy. It was over in InfoWars. And so they just brought in another guy. And the judge said, I order a sale. And so they then had, okay, they announced the time of the auction for November of 2014, and then they didn't have the auction. They said it was an auction to the judge and everybody, and then just basically gave it to the Onion gun control group that was paying for it. They went on TV and said it's ours. The judge saw it, so this is insane. And then now the judge got tired of it and kicked the property back into state court with the same judge that ran the show trial, Ware Gamble, and she appointed a state receiver, and now here we are 6 months later, and he told my lawyers that, yeah, the families, the Democratic Party, they don't want a sale. Well, under the law, if I have this $1 billion-plus debt to them, okay, and I'm still fighting in the courts, then by law, they're supposed to sell my assets to pay down part of that debt. But they said, we are not going to allow that. No public sale. It's going to be given to them again. The Onion man, who's a former head censor guy who had run all the censorship over, you know, just like Brian Stelter did for CNN, the guy that oversaw trying to shut down other people using the power of corporate media. He has done Wired magazine interviews and several others I've seen. We play clips of saying, oh, I'm still getting InfoWars. If there's one thing in my life, it's I want InfoWars. And he said they're going to use our logo, use my image. They're going to misrepresent who I am with chupacabras and Bigfoots to confuse people. They also said in June of 2024 in court, pulls up at Bloomberg, Patrick McDavid did it yesterday live on air. You just ask AI, Gemini or ChatGPT, you say, Alex Jones is a special case. The 13th Amendment does not apply to him. In a filing, they said the 13th Amendment against indentured servitude to slavery does not apply to Alex Jones. We own his name. We own his likeness. We own everything he ever said. We own all of his social media. Elon Musk had to counter sue and come in and say, because they could take over X, so they got away with that, and said, no, people are on our platform. And as long as they abide by our rules, we own the URL. He owns his name. You can't do that. They had to back off there. So they literally want to own me. Now, Prince signed a 360 agreement with his record company, famously, to own his likeness and name and his music for a huge amount of money. I never did that. My broadcast has always been free to air, First Amendment, with contracts on the site. So TV stations, colleges, Access TV, radio stations can always air it without having to call me and get a contract, because they always want one. And it says, we have a non-exclusive license to everyone. Everyone owns my show. Everyone owns the content. You can use it however you want, as long as I reserve the right to use it in full as well. So we've had dozens of those contracts, different ones, as the years go on, that are on Infowars.com. It's well known. So if they're able to do this and take over, they think it's going to be March 7th, but then they always get behind. Now they think by March 14th, the receiver told us a month ago they're going to shut us down. But again, what they're doing is so fraught with problems, because it's not even clear in the courts yet they're allowed to do this, because if they don't allow me to sell it to pay them money, then that doesn't pay down the debt, which is what by law I'm supposed to do. So the violations of my rights go on and on and on and on and on. And when my lawyers finally went into the whole record, watched all the videos, had all these other lawyers and experts look at it for over a year and a half, really 3 years, but an intense year and a half, they couldn't believe it. Every quote in their filings, basically in Texas and Connecticut, that they say is a quote from me is not even a quote from me. And literally it's, I believe the kids died. I'm sorry for the parents, but this is what people are saying. They have a right to ask it. And they only entered into evidence 22 minutes of me, supposedly over these years, torturing these parents, peeing on their graves. No one ever peed on their graves. None of this stuff ever happened, but much less I didn't do it. So they said it's the tool to shut everybody else down. They said it's not about money. It's about silencing me. And they even in the courts have said he needs to be taken off the air. He says Hillary Clinton and politicians are involved in the trafficking of children. And maybe during the break, they can find that famous short clip where they cut Rogan into it. And they say, so you say Hillary and the Clintons are involved with other politicians, you know, trafficking children. And I go, oh, you mean like Jeffrey Epstein? But there's actually the raw clip of that. And when we post this later to X, we'll definitely cut that in. And we'll play this on my show today as well, that Harrison's doing. Because people need to see that in context. They would use things like that. He says 9/11, there was government prior knowledge. He needs to be taken off the air. He says they're running human trafficking rings. We need him off the air. They're in court. We need him off the air. We need him off the air. He's talking about human trafficking. He's saying CNN lies. He's saying 9/11 was an inside job. Whether I'm right about all that or not, which I've vindicated, they're saying this isn't about Sandy Hook. Okay. And in Texas and in Connecticut, you can't sue somebody for defamation if you haven't said their name. When I got sued by all these people, I didn't know any of their names but one guy. I knew a few of them later because they've been attacking me in the news. And so they ran these foundations. They raised over $300 million on my name, running Facebook and Twitter ads everywhere saying he's harassing us, help us, help us. Bloomberg Group was behind that. All this has been going on. And then Bloomberg reports on it constantly. It doesn't tell you that, oh, our owner, you know, of this company is Rupert Murdoch. You know, in the past, whenever a media was talking about some company that they're invested in or they're part of or their parent company, they have to tell you. So this is their model. They've said it on CNN. They've said it on MSNBC. We can take down Alex Jones. We can take down everybody. The plaintiff's lawyers have probably said, no exaggeration, 30, 40 times that I've seen that we want him off the air. That's why we did this. And so that is a conspiracy against rights. If they've got this ready, let's play the short clip, but we should find the raw clip of this. And also Rob Dew and the Greenman, a great job putting together compilations of them saying, we want Alex off the air. This isn't about money. The longer ones are 10 minutes long of them just saying it, saying it, saying it, saying it. But maybe later in the show, we can just do a 3 minute, a 4 minute, a 5 minute. They got dozens of them in the computer right there just to see them say it over and over again. So this is what's called an open conspiracy against someone's rights. And if proven in court civilly, it then kicks into criminal. And this is what Todd Blanche killed that Ed Martin was investigating, because we have open and shut case of the FBI in Connecticut saying they went and created it with their FBI agent who became a plaintiff himself, won $130 million from me. I never said his name. None of the crew ever said his name. We never showed his picture. A local reporter once asked if he was real, called his office, and for his local blog wrote about him. They said in the suit, I was a co-conspirator with a guy I didn't know, had never met, to put me in the state for the suit. Then once they got me in trial, they dropped that guy. I first met him during the show trial in Connecticut, where he explained it all to me. And I met the guy, you know, out in the hallway. So that's how this whole thing works. You have the FBI sending their chief counsel, their head lawyer, he bragged about on the stand, hiding in plain view with the Koskov law firm, and then go recruit these families that had their foundations that were, you know, bringing in a few million a year. They escalate to 18, 20 something million, 30 million a year once they attach themselves to my name while claiming I'm making money off of them, while claiming I'm sending people to attack their houses, pee on their children's graves. Then we ask them on the stand, even the show trial, okay, who peed on your graves? Who came to your house? Well, I wasn't there. I didn't see it. Well, who told you? I don't know. This is all in the show trials, but they had to have a few questions so it would look real for, you know, the court TV and the YouTube. And remember, in both show trials that were set a month apart right before the midterms in 2022, I don't know how long this is going on, just the trials were back then. Even in the show trials, they killed the YouTube comments. Because the first few days, everybody's like, 50-50, this guy's a scumbag. But once they saw that I couldn't talk, I couldn't defend, once they saw all this, then they said, oh, my God, 99% of the comments were against them, so they killed the feeds. And she was already killing the feed when she wanted to say something really out of control. She would kill the feed herself, Judge Bellis in Texas. But then she totally killed the feed because they didn't want people to see what's happening. Then it was all produced by HBO. She's putting on makeup. It looked like they had scripts on their desk. She later walked a red carpet when the movie came out 2 years later at South by Southwest as the main feature movie. She walked the red carpet and was praised with flash bulbs and everything because this was a big production that I was ordered under penalty of contempt of court and arrest if I didn't go to. But then they would read to me, both judges, the same list of things. It's all coordinated. 20 different things I wasn't allowed to say. It was actually 22. I couldn't say I was innocent. I couldn't say that I didn't have any money and was in bankruptcy. I couldn't say never said the names of these people. Couldn't explain I didn't make money off of them. Couldn't provide any details because I was already found guilty. So this was absolutely the Truman Show for real. And now we filed this not to overturn their judgments. None of that. No. To go and show that I've had major civil rights violations and that I get damages on everything they've done to me. And this is just the beginning. As long as people support us at thealexjonesstore.com, and we're going to be launching Major Legal Defense Fund and Offense Fund soon as well. As long as we're supported, we're going to keep fighting. And we have turned the tide against these people. Even the Third Court of Appeals couldn't believe it. In Texas, the Supreme Court, if they don't overturn it, is set to. Judge Bellis did things like 2 weeks after the Texas show trial, to try to bust the caps, $3.5 million. She got in a thing from the jury for 45. She said, I'm going to find you guilty, civilly liable for elder abuse because the man is over 63 now. And she said, I don't care if the Supreme Court and the legislature say this is illegal. She said this. She said, I am overriding it. Well, she can't override it. And now, and people say, why has this gotten to court yet? They kept saying they were going to settle for something more reasonable, even though I don't owe it, it's a fraud. I wanted to just stop this and move on, but they want to bring me down, so they never did. They got up for the Third Court of Appeals and basically admitted that she can't do this, but she did. He's a bad guy. And all three of the women on the court were just like, are you joking?
Alex, stay put. I'm going to get you back on here in just a second. We'll have this quick commercial break. I'll come right back to you to continue to this. Folks, don't go anywhere. He's got more allegations to map out for you in just a second.
Ladies and gentlemen, everything we've talked about to a T is being vindicated right now. So we can obsess over the Epstein files or is Trump covering up or isn't he or what's Todd Blanche doing, any of that.
Men that abuse these girls, and what does that mean?
But at the end of the day, it's 99% Democrats in there. It's the European elite. They're the ones that basically wrote the book on this crap. It's all coming out, and we the people, the populist Christians of the world, have been vindicated in spades. And that's why we've been attacked so much. So remember, regardless of what happens with different political leaders, different populists, whether it's Orban, or whether it's Le Pen in France, or whether it's Donald Trump here, regardless, we the people of the West, of America, Christendom, will continue to promote freedom and liberty and justice and the American way and expose evil. And at the tip of the spear in that fight is InfoWars.
But regardless of what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesStore.com is owned by Bickley, and they have set up the Alex Jones Network as our backup that is absolutely critical. And they have launched the biggest sale of the year that runs until just next Monday. So I'm saying this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. And I'll air this later again as an ad, so you'll be seeing it later. That means you've only got 6 days to take advantage of this massive sale. Listen to this. We've got multiple bundles on the side of our best-selling products. Limited time till next Monday at midnight. And your support keeps us on the air. This is an amazing value. Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle. Repair the gut, power the brain, the heart, everything. Bundle price, $99. Normal value, $209. Savings over 50% off. Includes bovine colostrum, the top. Private label, so incredible for your body, your skin, your hair, everything. Methylene blue tincture, we've got the best. Total game changer. You've seen the guests take it live on air. Even methylene blue fans say we've got the best. Methylene red is our proprietary system that doesn't have a bunch of methylene blue in it. It's got all these other supercharged nutrients that supercharge methylene blue, but also do a great job for your stamina, libido, energy outside of that. So if you love methylene blue, the methylene red, it's back in stock. All three of those together in a bundle at over 50% off. Then we have the Modern World Survival Stack. Rebuild, Reload, Defend. The bundle, $89. Normally $184. Over 50% off. Built to support the body, the toxic nutrient-depleted modern world. Energy, stamina, focus, everything. Shilajit Complex, the best Shilajit gummies, capsules. You choose. CMOS capsules, incredible. Very strong, concentrated Irish CMOS. Natural iodine, 93 trace vitamins and minerals, incredible supercharger. You want this right now. Incredible for your thyroid, immune health, metabolic balance, your heart. And then Atomic Defense is the horse pill of horse pills of all the known concentrated natural detox super nutrients to detox of heavy metals, environmental toxins, and supercharge your body and gut health. Get it all right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com and be the reason we will always be on the air one way or another. But you love sales. This one is over. I think it comes at like 57% off or something. This is over 50% off. It's running till next Monday. So I'm cutting this live on air on Tuesday, February 10th. So what is Monday? Okay. You got like 6 days to take action now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to thank all you that have gotten the products and all you that have been VIPs. You get huge discounts if you do that and $40 spent in the store instantly every month. But for everybody else on the fence, you're missing out. You think our info is powerful? Well, this is even more powerful. Get it now.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Rob Dew. Watch live right now at band.video.
One of the things you've been talking about on your show is your allegation that government officials are aiding in pedophilia, child trafficking, and the grooming of children, right?
What do you mean, like what Jeffrey Epstein did with the Clintons?
Obviously, that's not going to make any fans of these corrupt courts when you call them out like that. Alex Jones is still with us because I want him to detail his latest filing in court. He is claiming civil rights violations. And as many of you guys know, we've been following this for years now. I mean, what happened to him is unprecedented, and we need to be able to speak out on all of this. And Alex, you know, we were just talking before the break, and prior to all of this, you had mentioned your deposition that you were looking to get Hillary Clinton to give her deposition, and that was shot down. Can you detail that a little bit? Because I know it's also mentioned in this new lawsuit that you've just filed. And I think for those who have missed that, that's the key part to a lot of this.
Yes, I was defaulted for three things, and I mentioned them earlier. I won't go over the other two. Mm-hmm. I was defaulted for filing and asking the court for permission to depose Hillary because in our deposition of the Sandy Hook Foundation people, they admitted to meeting with Hillary and it appeared coordinating with her. And we knew that she'd been involved at the beginning, tying me to Sandy Hook and running TV ads against Trump with it. So that was very important for us to show this was political then, as we thought it was. Now we know it was. And so that's the first default. If you get three strikes, you know, that's it. Normally it's fleeing the country or getting caught paying off a judge or, you know, putting in false evidence, you know, knowingly lying. Defaults are called death penalty sanctions. They're extremely rare until now. Now they're using them against everybody. Remember, Trump said he was innocent in the E. Jean Carroll case. He's not allowed to say he's innocent. So what, 7 million the first time, 70-something million or whatever it was the next? Well, you're supposed to be able to say you're innocent. So this is the weaponization that they do. And they're all over the news constantly. People like Piers Morgan, well, Jones didn't show up for court. Jones didn't show up for depositions. Jones didn't give any stuff over. No, I did. And I was innocent. So they had to default me just like Mike Lindell. They've done in his cases, as we showed on screen earlier. Judges find you guilty now that they have show trials. And that is a conspiracy against rights when a judge works with the FBI and works with a law firm that works for the FBI to hand the control of the court over to them and let HBO come in and produce everything and then keep me under those rules so I couldn't defend myself. I mean, again, in the Texas case, a day and a half of testimony about my finances with no evidence and I couldn't respond. Where they go, he's got $360 million, he made it off them, and I'm sitting there at that point with negative money in the bank and never made a dime off of them. So that's a conspiracy against rights. That's what's been done. Serious lawfare, major abuse of process. And abuse of process isn't a sexy name, but it's very powerful. And so this stuff, once proven civilly, you know, has major teeth to it criminally, but we know the Justice Department is toothless at the best, so that won't happen. But civilly, this gets in front of a real judge. They've got real problems on their hands. So we're fighting back. We've been fighting. No one has held out this long against the deep state other than Trump. And so it's been the listeners and the viewers' prayers, word of mouth, and support of us. So we're live right now. I'm going to play this interview at the start of my show at 11 a.m. today. Harrison's doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm out here in Florida, not vacationing, doing a lot of work behind the scenes, doing some big podcasts like Back of Bed David. That was really powerful yesterday. I covered this issue in depth for probably about 45 minutes on there, the 2+ hour podcast. People want more details. But a lot of those posts are at Real Off Shows on X. But follow us at Real Off Shows on X. Follow us at the Backup Network at AJN Live, at AJN Live. Follow Brianna Morello. Follow Harrison. Follow all the rest of the great team because there's a very good chance we're going to be shut down in less than a month. And that just ups the civil rights violations. So you were asking, what damages am I seeking? Or at least during the break, you asked me. Whatever damages I have received, shutting down our companies, the $25 million we've spent fighting them for the last 6-7 years, all of what's happened to my parents, if they're able to shut down InfoWars, the incalculable cost of all of that. And there's a lot more they've done that I've been asked not to say that we're, you know, keeping right here on the DL about what they've done and how they've done this. But this has been very sinister, but also very naked in all of it. I know you've got a big guest coming up, so we won't play the compilation here. But when we post this to X in about the next hour, we're going to put a compilation of them saying, we want him off air. Our goal is not money. We want to shut him down, to set the precedent to shut them all down. And now they've indeed been doing that. So this is, they're coming for everybody. They're trying to get through me, as Trump says, to get to you, ladies and gentlemen. That's why this is such a big deal and why I appreciate the viewers and listeners standing with us. Without you, we couldn't have done any of this. Without your prayer, I want to thank God. I want to thank the Holy Spirit for leading, guiding, and directing us. I want to thank the crew who have gone through, you know, no raises for years and years and years and years and years and almost no bonuses with all the inflation and many of them being deposed and harassed and lied about. The crew have been warriors, and they get as much credit as I get, but the listeners and viewers get the lion's share of the credit. Thank you, because I want to fight. I'm a fighter. I never give up. I mean, I like fighting tigers. This is what I was built for, but I can't do it. A warrior can't take the field unless the people are behind him that are in the factories, you know, producing the munitions, you know, producing the energy, producing the tanks, the weapons, the aircraft, the missiles. And that's what this is in the info war. All of this victory is you. The answer to 1984 is 1776. And from the bottom of my heart, I salute all the viewers and listeners of the info war. Even if they shut us down, the info war is generic, belongs to the people of the world. The info war just gets stronger. And we continue on with the Alex Jones Network that's funded by our main sponsor that owns it, thealexjonesstore.com, the great folks at Bigly. The sale ends, by the way, Monday. Mm-hmm. Over 50% off on these two bundles, Methylene Blue, Shilajit, Irish Sea Moss, Atomic Defense. Over 50% off, biggest sale of the year, 52% off. TheAlexShowStore.com, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. We're funded by you, not by Qatar, not by Israel, not by the Democrats, not by the Republicans, not by billionaires, but viewers and listeners like you. And I just appreciate the courage and the incredible team we've got. Whether InfoWars survives or whether it gets shut down, we'll know soon. And then under the new ownership, regardless, we plan to go at least 19 hours a day live. Where they're building new studios right now. We have a smaller backup studio that does a great job. And we're going to be on the air. I'm going to be on the air from 5 a.m. to midnight as soon as possible. And we'll have a lot of shows that aren't as exhausting, 3 hours. We'll have a lot of shows that, you know, go to an hour. We'll have a late night show that's like 2 hours. And we'll have some heavy hitters that want to do 2-3 hours. It's kind of the model you've seen with the War Room that was our original model that we never got fully launched, that we invented, basically. We're going to bring back my original vision that is the current dominant system right now, and we're going to continue to trailblaze because of the backing of viewers and listeners like you. You are the Paul Revere's. You are the Patriots. Please pray for this lawsuit. Please read the lawsuit. It's at Real Alex Shows right now, and Brianna Morello's ex. Follow her because, again, you are the amplifiers. Get this out. This affects everybody. The ball is now in your court, viewers and listeners. God bless you, and again, I thank you.
Alex, thank you for joining us and folks at home right now. I did post that link. You could view the latest filing right now up on X. It is available for you to click on and to see for yourself. It's about 60 pages long, but it's an easy read. And so give that a look. I mean, he's citing several different constitutional rights that he had violated in all of this. And it's very important for folks at home to understand what Alex has gone through. And I know a lot of people reach out to me and they say quite often, you know, Alex always says that InfoWars is going to be shut down. He's been saying this for a while now, and it's still not shut down. But the reason why it's not shut down yet is because of people like you at home. When you guys go out there, when you guys make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you guys are helping us out significantly. And you've supported us in other ways as well. And that's the reason why this legal battle is still ongoing. Again, so many people are cowards in all of this. They didn't want to speak out on Alex's behalf. But you, the audience, you've been consistent in all of this, continue to help Alex and fight. And we're very grateful for that. I know our control room is, our staff is, our team is, all of us are. So folks, when you go on over thealexjonesstore.com, you're helping us with our next operation. But Alex is in this fight and he is dedicated to this fight. And although these courts might be a bunch of cowards, I think in my own opinion that the Supreme Court is a coward as well for not hearing this argument. I think it's the most important argument to hear. You guys at home keep us up and going. We're very grateful for that. So Alex, thank you for joining us. I know he's got a busy schedule ahead as he's in Florida. And he had actually a very interesting discussion. I actually saw this clip. Let's go to clip 3 real quick, because this one gave me a good laugh this morning when I saw this little skit that they may have done yesterday on the Patrick Bet David show. Take a listen.
Alex Jones doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, Pat.
I still wouldn't drink.
Drinking it. Tap water with fluoride doesn't make you gay. Watch this. Oh, my God.
Stop.
Something's happening, Pat.
I told you.
It was good. It was good. That gave me a good laugh. Folks, we have Tom Wrench joining us in just a moment. But we have a lineup of incredible guests also joining us. Becca Spinks is going to be joining us as well. As many of you guys know, she's BX on X. She'll be here in a little bit. A lot to discuss with her. She's working on exclusive in regards to the Canadian mass shooter. She's been doing a deep dive into all of this, and she'll be joining us to give us her exclusive. Liz Harrington also joining us as well. Dr. James Thorpe, and as well as Kelsey Sharon will also be on board with us today. Again, folks, a lot happening here. Tom Wrench joining us in just a moment, but I want to get to clip 7 right now because in case you guys haven't actually gotten an actual figure as to how bad the fraud is between Medicaid and Medicare, RFK Jr. is mapping it out for you in this clip. Take a listen.
Cases are what we get between Medicaid and Medicare. There's about $100 billion stolen every year. And a lot of it is like what's happening in Minnesota with the Somali community and what's happening now, even worse, in California. But, you know, one of the problems is that that's a systemic problem is that Medicaid and Medicare now no longer, it used to be that they paid for your medical treatment, your doctor's visit, but now they pay for the person who takes you to the doctor, and they pay for home care, and they pay for, you know, a person to come in and pay your bills, right? So there's all kinds of opportunities for fraud. And a doctor recently, you know, Oz told me this, told Oz, he said that there was a doctor in California that he visited, and the doctor had a patient who was a heroin addict. heroin addict was coming to see him four times a month for some kind of a treatment. And one day he looked, the doctor looked out the door and saw his ex-wife waiting for him in the car. And the doctor said, oh, are you back together with your ex-wife? And he said, no, I hate her guts. And he said, but she drives me because she gets paid $600 every time she drives me.
Wow.
And he said,
that'll put you back together with your ex.
We make $3,000 a month, you know, with her driving me this, and then I drive her to hers.
Wow.
And so there's all kinds of those opportunities for fraud. And, you know, we found a hotel that had literally every room in it was the headquarters for a nursing group.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious that the system has been ripped off by the billions these days. But it's infuriating given the fact that that's our money that they're stealing from us. Joining me to discuss is Tom Renz. He is a patriot and an attorney as well. And he's here to break down a lot going on right now. You can follow him on X. It's at Renz Tom. Tom, thank you for being here. You know, I was listening this morning to RFK Jr. mapping out that massive amount of fraud, but most importantly, breaking down the example. I mean, we know that Medicaid and Medicare has become just a swamp for fraudsters to dive into. But I didn't know it was that bad, that they're literally paying people to be driven back and forth from these medical treatments, and they're paying them hundreds and hundreds of our dollars. Your reaction to that example he just laid out?
Well, they are doing it. What happens is they create these programs under Medicaid and Medicare, and people look for ways to game the system. So yeah, they'll say, listen, someone's got a disease. They've got something wrong with them. It's legit. They can't drive. So we need to create a program to get them there, right? Sometimes the amount of money that's paid is absolutely nonsensical, but they do it anyways. And once those programs are in place, you've got a group of people who just – they look for these things. They look for these opportunities, and then they take advantage of them. And it ends up spreading. People hear about it, and it spreads further, and it turns into millions or even billions of dollars of waste, fraud, and abuse through our system.
Yeah, and it's so frustrating that they're able to get away with this. And, you know, I know that they say that they're on it. I know that the DOJ has created a separate kind of entity within itself to track down a lot of the fraud. I don't know if there's been a U.S. attorney named to run that division as of yet. But we've got our eye on that. But, you know, I also want to switch gears because, Tom, you and I, we're like-minded individuals. And we also, you know, I think you and I bonded over the COVID jabs. And we all know that those were obviously one of the biggest scams known to man. But most importantly, so many were lied to. And so many who decided to not comply and to kind of go their own way have suffered massive consequences for that. There's a White House minor league pitcher who is now suing the team itself for $19 million, claiming that the COVID jab ended his career. He has four key bullet points in all of this. He was a 12th round White Sox pick, so never made it to the high A's. That's usually the triple A's. So he didn't really make it that far up. But again, I mean, he's claiming that if he didn't get the Pfizer jab, that he would have been blacklisted. He's claiming that he suffered symptoms, dizziness, nausea, heart rate problems, and then had issues and like pains in his arms. This led to nervous system disorder diagnosis, and it ultimately ended his career. I mean, there are so many issues here, Tom, but, you know, the fact that he suffered from all of these injuries after getting the jab because he was too afraid to be added to a blacklist, what do you make of all of this? Does he have a legitimate claim?
Well, he should. He should. And I can attest firsthand this is real. During COVID, I had a number of pro athletes that reached out to me, and most of them were so scared that they didn't even want me to make records of them reaching out. I had a group of pro athletes that I worked with during COVID, and the deal was they wanted advice. They wanted help. They wanted to discuss what was going on. But they didn't even want me to acknowledge in my legal notes that we were working together. So we had private group meetings where we would talk about the issues, and they would tell me all the major sports were co-opted. Pfizer, Moderna, the whole group, apparently, and this is unconfirmed, but they would pay a lot of money to the major leagues, to try and push major leagues, NFL, all these different groups to try and push these jabs. And they would blacklist people. If you spoke out, if you did anything, unless you were a huge, huge, huge star and could really kind of overcome it, they threw you out, they blacklisted you. And there were a lot of professional athletes that risked a lot. A lot of them had issues. side effects were, you know, profound and terrible from this stuff. And so this was a real thing. And this, just so that you know, Brianna, and this isn't public news, I don't think, but even some of our politicians, I'm not going to mention names right now, are allegedly or were allegedly put under, you know, under contract or received contracts or received money from pharma specifically for taking strong positions on the mRNA jabs. And to this day, there are very strong, incredible allegations of very high-level politicians in this country that may have to actually return money if they ever cease in supporting these jabs.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty disgraceful, and I've actually never heard that claim before, especially somebody, I mean, I used to work, before I started, obviously, in the news world, Tom, I know you know, but I was over in baseball before, Major League Baseball and NHL as well, and I didn't hear that one, so that's a little fun, thing to learn there. It's just so disgraceful, the pressure campaign that was put on individuals to get these jabs, and there's no accountability so far. We're watching, too, and I'm going to discuss it later in the show, but we're watching now as they're trying to claim that, I know the Johnson & Johnson jab, they're trying to claim that the blood clot issue was a rare issue, but they also have to admit that it did take place because the information that's coming out is so bombshell right now. But we've known about this for years, and the effort to go back and to suppress this information from coming out has been extensive. And, well, you know, we're going to keep fighting, but I want to get to other issues as well. We continue to talk about the jabs, and we continue to see that RFK Jr. and the MAHA movement is, you know, getting very, very open about the medical freedom movement and all of this. And we're watching as the childhood vaccines obviously have shifted. They've changed the recommendations for that. But RFK Jr. says he will not make vaccines mandatory and will give parents a choice. Now, apparently this was back in 2025, but it's still very controversial. I'm watching as this measles outbreak is popping up everywhere, and they continue to use it as the opportunity to push these experimental jabs. What do you make of that? Because, again, this is something that they always do. I've seen it time and time again. Many won't acknowledge the fact that while we had open borders, by the way, that we allowed all these illegal aliens into our country who came from countries that never even had vaccines for anything. And so they did bring measles into our country. And now they're all screaming that we have a massive outbreak. Do you think it's related to that? Or do you think that the solution that they're all pitching to is the measles vaccine? Do you think that's the actual solution here?
Well, I don't think the measles vaccine is a solution to anything. The measles vaccine is, frankly, about as reliable and tested as other vaccines. Every vaccine that I've looked at, and I mean this universally, and I've looked extensively, every single one of them, there are problems with the approval process, problems with the science. What these guys do is they'll have a fake study, fake this, fake that. Then they'll base 10 more studies on the results of their fake study. And the science becomes fraudulent, but there's a lot of it. So what happens is there's this massive amount of what I would call pseudoscience based on vaccines, but they never reevaluate the premise. Once the first few fraudulent studies are done, all the rest of the studies are based on those fraudulent studies. So it becomes kind of a self-perpetuating lie. Then there's this huge, there ends up being this huge body of evidence. But the evidence never reevaluates the premise. That's how a lot of these vaccines, you know, they talk about the tremendous amount of evidence of safety or efficacy for these vaccines. First of all, many times neither the safety nor the efficacy is actually tested, at least not properly. And it's the data that you're getting is based on a false premise. This is incredible what's going on. You know, they've got the lawsuits going on with this. And the lawsuits, they're using an absolute double standard in these. And that's an appalling thing. But even more appalling is the fact that when we look at health freedom, what, you know, you have the Fifth Amendment due process rights in this country, right? And Fifth Amendment due process, before life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. One of the key things that you've got to understand is if I want to put someone in prison, if I want to take their freedom from them, I have to put them through due process. Now, people don't like this analogy, but the reality is if I can tell you, if I can mandate or force you to put something into your body, that is every bit the abridgment of freedom that putting someone in jail is. I mean, if I can force you to take a vaccine, why can't I force you to take a poison? You know, and at the end of the day, many of these vaccines are poisons. The idea that we have to do this to protect someone else is literally communism. We don't focus on collective rights in this country. We focus on individual rights. That's the whole point of the Constitution. I have the individual right to refuse a vaccine. And by the way, if the vaccine's going to keep you safe, you take it. I don't need to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was a big issue. I mean, there was the pressure campaign. I remember when I was working at Fox and, you know, I made my way back up to New York and they were actually initially trying to figure out where to put me in the office since I was unvaccinated. They tried pushing me and pressuring me to tell my status and they were going to separate me. That's what they wrote in an email. They were going to put me in a separate area from the vaccinated because I was a threat. But I guess that means their vaccines really weren't working. And maybe they were admitting just that. Tom, I also want to get to this because this is an update. We've got about 2 minutes left on this front. But the George Washington University's Milken Institute School of Public Health filed an amicus brief in one of the lawsuits that's been filed against the, well, specifically against RFK. But it's the American Academy of Pediatrics that filed this claim. Now, they're upset given the fact that, obviously, like I alluded to earlier, that RFK has changed the childhood recommendations, and they believe it violates federal law by downgrading routine vaccine recommendations. Now, they're citing specifically the COVID-19 in people 6 months or older, hepatitis B for newborns. What do you make of this? Does this have a leg to stand on? Because they're trying to challenge this and say that he doesn't have the authority to do this and that it's actually legal. But I feel like the federal agencies like HHS do have that right.
Well, they do. And in fact, I can tell you, I litigated on this, right? Mm-hmm. So during COVID, I litigated APA issues. I litigated a bunch of these different things. And over, the court said, no, this is discretionary. You have not been able to show rational basis violations. Those are standards of law, right? The standard of law to do anything on this is mind blowing. And the fact that this actually got past the 12B motion when so many COVID cases were filed that were very, very similar didn't really shows corruption in our courts. I'm going to be honest with you. This case is appalling. The fact that the courts are applying a double standard towards the American Academy of Pediatrics versus what we brought in during COVID is disgusting. This is an outright, this is an outrage. It's an outright violation of prior precedent in many, many cases. This case is truly, truly appalling. And if it goes anywhere, it actually has already gone farther than it should have been. This should have been dismissed on 12B motion because, there is no plausible claim here. And, you know, it's just goes to show the courts, they believed the stuff from the CDC during COVID and they ruled on it that way. But, when we presented plausible information, they ignored it. Now the crooked APA, American Academy of Pediatrics, brings in this fake science and the courts jump all over it. It's corrupt as can be.
Yeah, Tom, it is a corrupt system, but we're thankful that you joined us today. And thank you for standing by. We greatly appreciate your time as always. Tom Renz. Renz, Tom is how to find him on Twitter.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that. It's.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though, you got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's
so this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways, I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. Look, it's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at theoloshowstore.com.
London Populous Power!
Volunteer Power!
Journal. We're getting ready to kick off the second hour of the show. Time is flying by over here. I don't know about you guys, but time is definitely flying by. We're excited you're jumping on with us. Thanks to Alex Jones for joining us today. I know he's a very busy schedule, and it was an honor, of course, to have him on. Also, thank you to Tom Renz for being so flexible. I know we had him on hold for a bit, but that's very important information to get out to the world. Folks, if you haven't done so already, give me a follow on X at Brianna Morello. That's B-R-E-A-N-N-A-M-O-R-E-L-L-O. I did just post our press release for Alex's announcement regarding his lawsuit. We will also have the link for you guys all at home to be able to view that lawsuit filing in full. So that is where you can do just that. We will also have it up on the Infowars.com website as well. You've got several platforms to go find the latest on all of that. But we've got my girl, Becca Spinks, joining us in just a little bit. She's going to break down that shooting that took place, and it was obviously a very tragic shooting that took place in Canada. But it has a lot to do with what we're currently enduring here in the mainland. And that is that we've got a lot of transgender individuals committing acts of violence or threatening to commit acts of violence as well. And there's a lot here. Now, Becca's been doing the digging into all of this, and she'll join us to break that down. Again, folks, on X, you probably know who she is. It's BX on X, her X name. And so we look forward to her exclusive report. She's been doing the deep dive into this individual's background. And it's very infuriating. It's very infuriating because the media in Canada is actually correcting you, and so is the law enforcement. They're correcting you if you use the wrong pronouns for the mass murderer. Now, this is seriously where we are as a society right now. It's absolutely devastating, but she'll be with us in a minute to break that down for you. I want to shift gears over right now to North Carolina for a bit. Roy Cooper, who was the former governor of North Carolina, well, he was recently grilled about his refusal to answer questions about that Ukrainian girl who was killed. Remember when she was sitting on that bus, the train, and she was stabbed to death fatally? Well, he's been forced to answer some questions. I want you to listen to clip four and how he responded.
Governor Cooper, why was DeCarlos Brown on your list for early release? Governor Cooper, could you answer the question, please? Governor Cooper, why was DeCarlos Brown on your list for early release? Governor Cooper, why was DeCarlos Brown on your list for early release?
Okay, now it's Carlos Brown. Carlos Brown was the one who stabbed the victim. And obviously, folks, this is gut-wrenching. But the reality of it is Roy Cooper is actually a horrible person. I want to make this very, very clear. Roy Cooper, when I was doing a report back on the floods in North Carolina, I believe this was, what, 2025, 2024 maybe? There were federal employees calling me because they wanted to fly in to save those in North Carolina who were abandoned, and they tried their very best to do just that. Now, unfortunately, they were unable to do so. Why? Because Governor Cooper wouldn't allow them in. They weren't allowed in for days. They were on standby, standing, like literally waiting at hotels. And I broke that story to you exclusively. I was one of the very few who had that full report in regards to Cooper's response and also their efforts just not allow any federal resources in. Now, this was intentional. Actually, this was 2024 because it was right before the election. And so, you know, I remember vividly reaching out like, hey, we've got guys in hotel rooms ready to go out there and rescue folks. And it's been over 5 days. What's going on? Governor's office wouldn't respond. Then when I dropped the report, it exploded online. He decided to refer to it as disinformation, even though those same people were still waiting in hotel rooms nearby and outside states. So Roy Cooper is actually a horrible person. I see that he's running for U.S. Senate, and he should not be allowed to run for Senate. But, folks, that's where we are right now in all of this. And it's absolutely devastating, of course. People like him belong in prison. But here we go. Here we go. Of course, they get away with it, and there's no ramifications or, I guess you say, penalties for what they've done. So we're going to keep our eye on this, obviously, because he should be grilled about this. He should not be allowed to get and seek higher office. People like this need to suffer the penalties, and that needs to be the death of their political career. All right, folks, we got more going on in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, in the second hour of the show, like I mentioned, we have Becca joining us. We also have Liz Harrington joining us as well, plus a couple of really big stories you're not going to see anywhere else. I'll be breaking down for you in a moment. So buckle up. More to discuss in just a bit. We'll be back in 1 minute.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping in my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Happy Friday, everyone. A lot going on over here. We have a packed program for you, packed house. It's actually normally not this chaotic and busy over here, but it is today. And I'm excited to have our next guest on in just a moment. But for many of you at home, you probably heard over the week that there was a mass shooting in Canada. And it's a bit of a head scratcher, obviously, because we know how Canadians feel about gun rights. And so this one kind of caught a lot of us off guard. But there's a common theme amongst these mass shootings and these acts of violence that are popping up all across, you know, North America. And it's the fact that these individuals are transgender. Now, take a look at this. The information regarding this individual is absolutely gut-wrenching. But the background story is that it's a biological boy, killed six children ages 11 to 13, a teacher, his own mother, and then killed himself. Now, I keep saying him, and I want to emphasize that he is a man, a boy, because the mainstream media won't do that. In fact, sadly, when a journalist did decide to refer to him as his biological gender, local law enforcement actually corrected the reporter in clip 8. Take a listen.
Expand a little bit on the suspect. Was he known to police? Were there any red flags regarding his mental health?
So a suspect is identified as an 18-year-old female by the name of Jesse. We have a history of police attendance at the family residence. Some of those calls were related to mental health issues.
We have to go by his preferred pronouns, of course. Yeah, the one who was just murdering children who were innocently sitting at their school trying to enjoy their lives, trying to enjoy their day, trying to learn a thing or two. They're brutally murdered by this biological man, but we have to go with his preferred pronouns. How gut-wrenching is that? It's really infuriating what's going on, especially in Canada, but also here, obviously, we see that in the United States as well. Joining me to discuss is the incredible independent journalist Becca Spinks, joins the program today. As many of you guys know, she does a great job at digging into, you know, the satanic murder cults in her spare time, but most importantly, she is one of my favorite follows on X these days. Becca, I want to thank you for joining the show. It's an honor to have you on. I know you've been doing an exclusive deep dive into the individual who, the animal, I'll just say, who decided to take the lives of so many innocent children, his own mother, and then turn the gun on himself. What are you learning?
Yeah, so we learned quite a bit in the last 48 hours. I've cautioned people that, you know, it does take us that long approximately to get all of the facts. There was a lot of disinformation and incorrect information being shared in the early hours following the shooting, which is something that we see every single shooting. We see disinformation spread. So I just caution people, give us time, give the experienced researchers time to come up with our assessment. I'm not a breaking news account, but if you follow me, you know that within the first couple of days, I'll have a really extensive report out for you. So we actually saw a lot of people, trying to connect this with what I've talked about before, the Order of Nine Angles 764, child exploitation cult stuff. But it turns out that it wasn't necessarily connected to those things this time. It was actually connected to something that we see a lot more of these shooters being connected to, and that's the so-called TCC, the True Crime Community. The TCC is like a mass shooter fandom, for lack of a better term. These are online communities that are obsessed with mass shooters, glorify them, make fancy video edits with them, sexualize them. And it's a really, really nasty place that we see a lot of these vulnerable individuals, vulnerable youth falling prey to. And a lot of times they end up planning their own shootings after that. In this case, we actually saw that the perpetrator had created a Roblox game. It was a mass shooting simulator at a mall where you could go to the mall as a Roblox character, pick up guns and rocket launchers and just start chasing people down and shooting them. This is something that we also see a lot in the background of these shooters, that they were these terminally online people who were, unfortunately sucked into really harmful communities where they were basically groomed into doing this. By bad actors and by this strange online subculture.
Becca, this is so disturbing in itself. And, you know, the Roblox element to it, it's the reason why there are so many individuals, so many groups now these days. I believe it's also Texas is going after Roblox to kind of find out some answers here. When it comes to these games that are being manufactured and posted on Roblox, is there any, for an example, this is something that you do quite often. When you see these types of games, is there a layer of you could report it and then they're quickly taken down, or are they just always remaining posted up there? So, because I'm not familiar with Roblox at all, but are they always posted up there so anyone could play these games?
As of yesterday, it was an active game on Roblox that anyone of any age could play. That means if your kid's unsupervised on Roblox, they could have found their way into this game and started playing a mass shooter simulation, and possibly also talking to other Roblox characters who would invite them to Discord servers and other malicious things to try to exploit them. So the Roblox did take the game down. And I think as of today, they issued a statement confirming it was a shooter's account and that they had taken it down. When I find stuff like this, it goes on my radar, right? I know that the people who make these games especially are very high likelihood of committing an attack. Finding games like this have been, one strategy used to actually thwart, potential attacks. In fact, there was one right in Round Rock, Texas. A person was arrested for planning a church shooting, and he was caught because he was on one of these Roblox games where they were simulating mass shootings and he was talking about it. So that person's actually going through the court system right now. So there have been people caught while actually doing this, which is reassuring, I guess, but you know, this person, unfortunately, there were so many red flags. The police had him on his radar. They'd been to his house multiple times. Canada has some of the strictest gun control laws you can imagine. And yet this person was still able to go and commit a mass shooting despite having all of these, known mental illness, visits from the police and all of these red flags online. So, there's definitely a lot to learn on this one.
Yeah. And I want to keep going through it all because, you know, in your thread, your Twitter thread itself, and folks, give her a follow on X, BX, _ on X, and there's an _ under there as well, between on and X, but we'll put it up on our screen as well and include a link as well and tag you in our posts. But I really want to talk about this part. This one's interesting to me. The shooter identified as a trans lesbian, and the shooter obviously being Jesse. Again, this is a biological boy who is pretending to be a female. What do you know about that? And also the fact that he began transitioning at the age of 12.
Right. So what we've heard from authorities and pieced together from online, like his mother's Facebook posts, go back for years, talking about her son's mental health problems, his behavioral problems. It appears that she allowed him to start medically transitioning to female around age 12, in order to kind of hopefully correct his behavioral mental health problems. Unfortunately, this, I think, obviously contributed to his spiral, because what you can see from his Reddit history, and we're talking about an 18-year-old, okay? So for 6 years, 5 or 6 years, this kid has been online, unsupervised, posting on Reddit, which is also important. Probably even more important than the transgender stuff is how much access this kid who had known behavioral problems was given access to the internet unsupervised. And you can see in his Reddit history that he had been lamenting his transition, talking about problems with loneliness and depression and anger. He'd been talking about, not liking his boyish figure. He'd been on some of these Reddit communities talking about hormone replacement therapy. He was on hormone replacement therapy. And then, like, later on in life, as of recently, you see him posting about he's on SSRIs and psych drugs, and he's on estrogen and hormone replacements. And now he's also experimenting with shrooms and DMT and LSD. I mean, this kid was, I mean, it's really a failure of the parents. I mean, how do you even, how do you not know your kid is, you know, into all of these things? He's posting it publicly online. He was on this very dangerous cocktail of medications and self, you know, self-administered hallucinogens. I mean, I think that it's obvious that there were a lot of factors that contributed in this specific case. And I would definitely say that, the transgender component is important. When I talk about this, I don't think that there's necessarily, I've been pretty hesitant to kind of attribute mass shootings to transgenderism, mm-hmm. because obviously there's a lot of things that go into this, right? Mm-hmm. But I think that the bottom line is that teenagers who are gender confused, who are told by their peers, by their parents, by their teachers, that it is okay for you to be gender confused and change your gender and have all these identity issues. These kids are far more likely to find themselves in these toxic, harmful online spaces like this true crime community mass shooter fan club Discord servers, where they become radicalized. This shouldn't surprise anybody, you know? I mean, these communities target vulnerable kids, kids that have identity issues, kids that have mental health issues, kids that are autistic. And so these are the people who we most likely see committing these shootings. And him being transgender alone tells me where to look online for information on, you know, where he became radicalized. So it is really an issue of online radicalization. And I think that a lot of people, even on the left side of the aisle, really need to listen to what I'm saying. They need to remove emotion from the equation. They need to listen to what I'm saying when I tell them that LGBT youth are overrepresented in these dangerous communities. There's a higher number of them there because they're socially ostracized, they're isolated, they're confused, and they're looking for validation and identity. So they find themselves in these harmful communities that exploit them more often than normal, healthy, well-adjusted children. And so I think it's very important that we recognize this as a risk factor.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it is important. And I think it's also important too, Becca, that we study, and I'm glad that, you know, RFK Jr. is doing this, but he's trying to study, what all of these hormones mean to kids when you're putting them on all of these, transitioning hormones and you're putting them on puberty blockers. I mean, the long-term effects here, mm-hmm. because we're hearing from so many kids who have regret after transitioning when they were kids.
Sure.
And they're yeah. speaking about these issues quite often. You know, we just talked about it yesterday when I was filling in for Alex with another guest. But I mean, there's been plenty, like Chloe, for an example, has been very open about it, that she has a massive amount of regret. And it started for her when she was younger, and she started developing a lot quicker, and she was getting comments from teachers, and she wanted to hide the fact that she was developing breasts at such a young age. And it's such a complex issue that it can't be simplified. Mm-hmm. But when you see that RFK Jr. is trying his best to learn more as to what the long-term effects or the mental health issues that come about this, when you're putting these kids on these hormones and on these puberty blockers, are you hopeful that we might get to the bottom of this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're both adult women, right? I think we can all attest to the implications of hormone imbalances and changing hormones on your emotional mm-hmm. state. I think that this is just, it's obvious that kids who are having, you know, hormonal adjustments and artificial hormones pumped in their bodies. I'm sure that can have detrimental effects, not just on the body, but on the mind. And I also bring this up in the context of cults, which is my specialty, right? Manipulative, harmful cults. If you look at any cult in history, what you find is that you've had the same types of people that are vulnerable to join cults, right? Mm-hmm. And by and large, those people share personality traits like having a weak sense of identity, having a weak sense of self, having self-esteem issues. You know, these are people who are looking for validation, looking for connections, looking for a higher meaning. And so the first thing that happens to them in the cult is their identity is wiped off, and they're given a new identity, the identity of the cult. Right. So obviously people who are already having a weak sense of identity, already having gender confusion, already having an identity crisis. Who am I? Kids who are going through puberty. We've all been there. We've all been kids going through puberty. Mm-hmm. Right. It's a very, very hectic, chaotic time. This is a very unstable point where a kid is rocking around trying to figure out who they are. It's not hard to grab them and push them over to one extreme side and say, this is what you are now. And from there, you can control that person. So mentally speaking, there's a lot that goes into the mentality of these groups and these groups where these kids are exploited and radicalized and taught that nobody matters. This is the TCC true crime mass shooting fandom is really a place of misanthropy, celebrating misanthropy and nihilism, celebrating that society has failed them, teaching that blackpilling them, that society has failed them and that there's no other recourse but for them to just go and teach society a lesson by killing as many people as possible. And so that's what we see happening in these communities every time. This time's no exception. In fact, you had mentioned that he identified as a lesbian. That's actually something that I personally found on his Watch People Die account. He was on this account called Watch People Die. It's a website full of gore where you watch gore videos. He was expressing interest in violence and mass shooting. We see a search history there that he was searching Samantha Rupnow, who is like a TCC icon. She's the biological female who committed an attack in Madison, Wisconsin, in December of 2024. A lot of times when we see people getting interested in Rupnow, that's a huge red flag, that they're about to do something scary. And so unfortunately he was in that rabbit hole 2 months ago. We can see his search history and, no one intervened. He was obviously planning this for probably a couple of months. We also saw via some of his chats that he had on Watch People Die that he identified as a lesbian and was inviting other gender confused kids into a Discord server. We don't have any information. I'm a citizen, not law enforcement, right? So I don't have access to his Discord, but I can only imagine what we would find if we had his Discord history, which I'm sure that they're going to avoid releasing at all costs.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. But this whole story itself is heartbreaking. Obviously, the massive amount of loss of life here is devastating, but it's also devastating on how we're letting these kids down, Becca. And I know you try your best to warn parents about what's going on online. But most importantly, I think a lot of parents and probably the mother had the best intentions when she tried to help her son transition, thinking that this would cure his inner, I guess, demons, the battle he's internally fighting. And it's just so sad to see. I mean, I said it yesterday too. Growing up, I went through like a tomboy phase, wore all black, was very tomboyish, but I couldn't imagine what I'd be up against now with the media, with the social media, with everything going on out there, trying to combat the fact that, well, maybe I'm a different gender. Maybe I actually don't even want to be a girl because I like black. I like dark colors. I like boy sports. My heart breaks for these children. I don't know how they combat it. And I think we need to do better as adults now to help
them
out.
They don't. We're the adults. Yeah, we're the adults in the room. They can't do anything. We're the ones that have to step in and say these kinds of ideologies are harmful to a kid's mental health. It can stunt their psychological growth. It can lead to increasing isolation and ostracization of, their social groups. And, it can lead them to bad places online. I think, the mother in her Facebook post did seem to just be trying anything to help her kid who was born with mental health issues, born with behavioral problems. These things are innate sometimes, and I think that she did try to embrace this transition in order to kind of help him. But unfortunately it cost her life and it cost the life of her 11-year-old son who was also killed along with her in the home. So yes, it's very, very sad. And, I think that it's just important for parents to understand, there's a lot of shootings that happen. I will say most of them are not done by transgender people. Mm-hmm. However, a large percentage of them, like a larger percentage than you would expect are, right? Like say there might be 5 or 6 out of, 100. That's still quite a bit. That's enough to make us raise our eyebrows and go, there could be a trend here. And there is, and I'm telling you what the trend is. The trend is that these are the people, the kids who are more likely to find themselves in these radicalized online environments. So really it comes down to what do all of them have in common? They were all radicalized online in these exact same communities, right? We need to increase the amount of attention that we pay to these communities. If a kid's creating a mass shooter simulation game on Roblox, that should be a huge indicator that something is not right, right? I personally You know, people bring this stuff to me all the time, and I'll personally try to identify that youth. I'll try to identify that youth, and I'll try to escalate that to law enforcement. And we've actually succeeded in thwarting mass shootings that way. We have succeeded in thwarting mass shootings simply by knowing where to look and being there and raising alarm bells when we see this kind of behavior. And it's frustrating that we can't catch all of them. It's frustrating to see that they were operating in plain sight in these communities that we know well, and we were not able to stop this one. So, you know, I think law enforcement needs to pay more attention to this stuff, and parents need to be aware that if your kid is spending, a lot of time online or any time online unsupervised, that's a problem. You need to get control of that. You need to know exactly what your kid is doing online at all times. There should be no situation where your child has your 18-year-old child has a 5-year Reddit history of crazy stuff. There's no excuse for that.
Yeah, Becca, there's no excuse for that. And you know, you dig into this. I know you do your very best. And I know you're often attacked online, on Twitter specifically, by a lot of these people who feel like you're going after them, targeting them. But I know that your true intentions here are just mainly to help families to save their children before something like this happens. Because I totally understand what's going on in a lot of these kids' minds. They probably just feel like there's no reason to live, or they just feel like their mental health issues are consuming them. But there's more to life than being worried about certain issues. And this gender confusion, mm-hmm. I totally mm-hmm. get where they are on that front. Becca, you do an incredible job. And I want to remind our audience that you do this because you're an independent journalist. So folks, she's only able to do this when you support her. You got to head on over to her Substack and make sure you subscribe. BX Writes, that's WRITES. .substack.com, bxwrites.substack.com. That's where you go to support her work. She's doing this because she's, you know, obviously, Becca, you're a parent, but you most importantly are a human being who want to save these kids before they get consumed by the dark web. And sadly,
it's tragic. I mean, I don't want to feel like I have sympathy for the killers, but I do in a way. I pity them. And it's tragic that they didn't have that support and those parents and that intervention they needed to prevent the loss of life. I mean, when we look at like Samantha Rucknow, when she was like 15 or 16, that's still sad. That's a terrifying loss of life. And it is tragic. It should never happen if the parents are paying close enough attention. So yeah, I'm not a political person. I'm not here to promote a political agenda. People get mad at me because I'm warning them about what I'm seeing. And what I'm seeing is that LGBT youth are overrepresented in these harmful communities. Which should be a warning to parents to, number one, make sure your kid has a healthy sense of identity. That's what you're raising them for. That's your job as a parent, to raise a robust child who knows who they are. And secondly, that they're not given unsupervised access to the internet, no matter what. All of these things could have prevented this tragic case.
Yeah. And that's the worst part about all of this. But Becca, you do an incredible job. Again, folks, bxwrites.substack.com is where you go to see all of her work. You do an incredible job. And you also have a very interesting story about a cannibal. And I highly recommend our audience to head on over there and subscribe. You do a great job. And I'm very proud of you. So congratulations, Becca, on another great report that you've done. Again, give her a follow on X. She's one of the very few who's going into the dungeons of the dark web to find you these stories and to prevent the massive amount of casualties that are caused by these accelerators. Becca does a great job at that. So make sure you give her a follow. Becca, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Brianna.
Always a pleasure. Folks, I want to remind y'all that right now at the alexjonesstore.com, we have an incredible sale, and it's going on for a limited time right now. Drop what you're doing. Head on over to the shop. It is 52% off. It's the mega sale. It's going on now. And again, it's 52% off the whole site-wide. I haven't seen a sale like this in quite some time. I think the last time we did a good sale like this was Christmas. So you got to head on over. Now it's time to stock up on your favorite supplements. Maybe you want a hat, a hoodie, a t-shirt. Well, it's 52% off right now over at the alexjonesstore.com. And like Alex told you earlier in the show, when you support us over at the shop, you are helping us stay up and running, obviously, but most importantly, build our next operation. We're very grateful for your support. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now and stock up while it's 52% off.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. They're
their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patty Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle. You gave me, it's great. It totally makes it, you can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshore.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it, yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed, it's not caffeine, it's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I got to get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimate Methylene Blue, thealexjonesshore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it from SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShore.com. So,
It's not psychosomatic. It's not psychological. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back. The American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. A lot happening over here. Packed house on today's show. I don't think we've ever had this many guests on the program. seven, six, whatever it is. It's a full house today. One of my favorite people to speak to is going to join us in just a little bit. Liz Harrington is jumping on the show with us. Before we get to Liz, though, I want to play this clip for you all. John Solomon yesterday issued a report, and John Solomon has strong sources within the FBI and DOJ, so I tend to listen to when he talks, but John Solomon put out this report yesterday that there's going to be a possible raid in Maricopa County, maybe today. Take a listen to clip 9.
I've been telling you all week, keep an eye in Arizona. Keep an eye in Arizona. I think there's a Georgia-like event in Arizona, like what happened in Fulton County. I think tomorrow is a likely day. So I just want to put that on your calendar. Keep an eye tomorrow. I see Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem going down there. Now, why is that important? The Homeland Security Department oversees the election machines and election counting capabilities. CISA and the Homeland Security Department deal with that. The FBI Justice Department deal with criminal violations. So she's down there for a reason, and I think my reporting suggests that there will be some sort of important election integrity event tomorrow, Maricopa County in Arizona. That'll be the second state after Georgia to have that sort of treatment. So put it on your calendar, get it ready, and we'll have you covered here at Real America's Voice and JustTheNews.com.
All right, so I'm ready. It's on my calendar, and I'm on standby. Joining me to discuss is Liz Harrington. She is a fighter when it comes to election integrity, but most importantly, she's the former spokesperson for President Donald Trump, and she joins us now. Liz, it's always an honor to have you on the program. You know, I sat back and watched John Solomon's report, and John's been pretty accurate over these last few months now. He's got some great sourcing. What do you make about the potential raid of Maricopa County, possibly election center?
Well, great to see you, Brianna. I think it's a logical next move if they're going to go farther than, you know, just Fulton County. Maricopa is certainly another epicenter of election fraud, and we've documented it for many years now. They have illegitimate people sitting in offices, major offices in that state. So it's really important that the administration does do something and look into this. So I certainly hope he's right. I don't have any inside knowledge. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes he's been accurate in the past, sometimes not. But lately, like you said, I think he's been kind of, you know, been fed some good information. So hopefully something does big happen today when it comes to Maricopa County.
Yeah, well, we're standing by and I'm watching, and I really hope that something does happen, because Maricopa County has been the center of a lot of fraudulent accusations. I'm trying to think of the nicest way to put this, but I know girls like Carrie Lake are probably on standby, like, let's see, because obviously Carrie Lake has also had her issues with Maricopa County as well. So we're keeping our eye on that to see if anything comes about that. But I also want to play this next clip as well. You know, I told our audience yesterday that there was going to be an announcement made by President Trump in regards to the EPA. It looks like that's happened, and officially what's going on right now is he has terminated the so-called endangerment finding, which was a disastrous Obama-era policy, which he claims, and I think many experts would also back this up, damaged the American auto industry. Let's take a listen to clip 10.
In 2009, Barack Hussein Obama, his EPA designated fossil fuels such as oil, gas, and other things that actually make factories rock and roll and other things drive very nicely as a threat to health and human welfare, known as the endangerment finding. This determination had no basis in fact, had none whatsoever, and it had no basis in law. On the contrary, over the generations, fossil fuels have saved millions of lives and lifted billions of people out of poverty and all over the world. And you see it with the blackouts all over, where they don't use it, where they went to wind, intermittent wind, which is weak and ineffective and very, very costly, most costly energy there is. And people are dying because there was no air conditioning or there was no heating. Lots of other things, bad things happened. And yet this radical rule became the legal foundation for the Green New Scam, one of the greatest scams in history, probably as great, maybe even greater than Russia hoax, etc., which the Obama and Biden administration used to destroy countless jobs, and the jobs have been just decimated. Although they're all coming back because of tariffs, they're all coming back into our country at levels we've never seen before. But it raised prices and caused immense harm to the U.S. auto industry. We thought irreparable, but we've got them back. We're coming back now.
I love how the media is covering this. You know, the Associated Press wrote that Trump's EPA revoked scientific findings that have underpinned U.S. fight against climate change. Climate change isn't working out for me, Liz. I don't know if it's working out for you, but I've been quite disappointed that global warming hasn't worked out. It seems to be this big push, though, and I know our audience is familiar with it. It just seems so fraudulent and such a bogus push when they use the term climate change, and it's been going on for far too long. Your reaction to the president ending the Obama-era plan to go after the auto companies?
Oh, right. It's global cooling where I am as well. It's been the coldest winter, I think, in decades at least, if not longer than that. But, I mean, this is just illustrative of so much damage that has been done to our country by the elites and the political class that President Trump has had to unwind. And it has so many effects on so many industries. Obviously, we saw the damage that the Biden regime did. But going back to Obama, too, I mean, all of these policies were just affected so much. And it really was a war on the American people, the American consumer, our jobs, our way of life. I mean, you cannot, as President Trump was talking about, you can't have a country operate on wind and solar. Some people get really rich off of it, but it doesn't work. And everyone knows that. It was a big scam. And I'm glad to see he's winding all this back, but it really takes a lot of time to unwind these things. And I think that's why it's so critical, like we talked about in the last topic with Maricopa and everything else. Stolen elections have consequences. The Biden regime did so much damage to our country, and here we are in year two of President Trump's second term, and we're just now getting to some of these other things, and it's just so much to unwind, and it should have never happened. So obviously glad to see it, but and there's just so much to do to unwind, and it takes time for the American people to feel those good benefits because it's been, like I said, a war on the American people for a very long time.
Yeah, and we're all feeling it these days. And I'm excited that he's, you know, rolling this one back, but there are so many things that he has to do. And I'm sure the plate's full these days. I think we're north of like 200 executive orders. So I know he's working aggressively hard to go out there and try to make these critical changes. And so it's very, very important. I want to end this on like a little bit of a lighter note, though, because Caitlin Collins is insisting that CNN and herself included, they're not actually biased against the Trump administration. Take a listen to clip 11.
You know, they always argue the media is biased against them and doesn't cover them fairly, even though we cover them, I think, fairly and accurately. You wanted the focus to be on the subject matter and not on you personally as a reporter. And so I always try to, you know, keep that distance in terms of that. And I think keeping your composure in that point is important because you never want to prove them right on that front, that they are right, that you're biased against them or that you have a personal, you know, angst here. I don't.
Do you believe Collins when she says she doesn't? Because, I mean, she did used to work for Daily Caller. That's where she started.
Right. And I honestly, she probably doesn't have an ideological bent on anything. It's just about being on TV and, you know, the job. And, but this is how this is possible, right? Zero self-awareness. I mean, how could you say with a straight face that CNN is fair to President Trump? It's so absurd. And her in particular, too, her questions are very nasty. Every time she does get a chance to ask President Trump a question directly or Caroline Leavitt, they're always so hostile. It's ridiculous to suggest that they aren't biased, especially when you contrast and compare to the questions that, more importantly, not that they were asking, but that what they weren't asking the Biden team. And when we didn't have a president for 4 years, then CNN didn't bother to cover that until Jake Tapper decided to try to sell some books and cover that story up. So it's so preposterous. Everyone knows it, but that's why no one watches them and no one cares what they report on anymore. They've really lost the power that they had because they've lost so much credibility. You know, they used to be able to control the narrative, like with a scam like Russiagate. But now they try the signal gate, they try the Venezuela, they try all these, you know, fake scandals, and it really doesn't get any traction because people have totally tuned them out. They go to other sources, and they're really making themselves irrelevant.
Yeah, and Liz, I think that's what's going on right now. You know, I said it yesterday during the show as well, when you look at the ratings of CNN from 2016 till now, the primetime hour got over 1.6 million viewers on average, but now they're struggling to get north of half a million, and they've been hovering over that number. So I think the American people are done with this nonsense. They're pulling away. Also, they're no longer available at the airports anymore. And so I think the forcing us all to watch CNN while we're waiting for our flights or delayed flights and such is no longer a factor. And so that's been kind of critical for CNN. But Liz Harrington, thank you for joining us today. You do an incredible job as always. It's an honor to have you on today's program. So thank you.
Great show. Thanks, Brianna.
Thank you. Thank you. Folks, give her a follow on X at Real Liz USA. That's where you could find Liz Harrington. All right, folks. Yesterday I was filling in for Alex Jones, and I know a lot of people were watching. And, you know, as I fill in for Alex, there's breaking news. And there's a woman who I've spoken highly of over these, you know, last few months, Gail Slater. She was running the antitrust division, and something big happened yesterday on air. I gave kind of like my reaction to the news that Gail was no longer going to be running the DOJ's antitrust division. And that's something that's really upsetting to me. Keep in mind, Gail Slater is someone who I highly respect. She's a patriot. She is someone who loves this country. She took a massive, massive pay cut to take on this position. And it wasn't, again, because of any type of financial gain. She was taking on this position because we've spoken several times. She took on this position because she wanted to make the country a better place for her kids. That was the goal in all of this. Well, Gail has received a lot of negative pushback. And it's really upsetting to me because I met Gail when I was getting pushback over while working for Fox. I was leaving. I was on my way out. I was done. I put out a public statement after leaving and detailed the push to force vaccinate me and how they were trying to comply with what I deemed was an illegal New York City vaccine mandate. And they tried their best to force me to comply with it, but I refused to, which resulted in them pushing me out of Fox Corp. Gail Slater was actually one of the only former Fox executives, individuals who worked for Fox, to reach out to me. She emailed me, I've never met Gail before, but emailed me to offer both her sympathy and her assistance if I needed any help with trying to land a job. And she has always been extremely kind to me. So to see what's happened to Gail over at the DOJ was very, very disappointing. You know, Gail was confirmed, the U.S. Senate confirmed position. She was confirmed by both Democrats and Republicans. Why? Well, you know, obviously I don't agree with Democrats on much these days, but a lot of people did think that she was going to run the antitrust division without being partisan. And so that's the reason why both Democrats and Republicans fell in line with Gail. Now, over these last few weeks, Gail, last few months, I should say, she's been dealing with a lot of just public bashing. And she's just such an incredible woman. I look forward to having her on the show eventually when, you know, Gail gets some downtime. But Gail's a really kind woman, a really sweet woman. And I think that a lot gets lost in communication. And what I mean by that is what my reaction was yesterday on air was my gut reaction, knowing that there was key people who work within the DOJ, keep that in mind, who were going after Gail. I knew this. I've known about this for quite some time. Multiple sources have reached out to me to let me know that it's Gail and multiple other people who felt like they were being targeted internally. And so obviously I've been voicing those concerns with you guys all on this show, but I want to make it very clear. I mean, I wasn't going after Mike Davis yesterday. Mike Davis is a friend. I've known him for years now. He's helped me several times when I was producing or doing my own show. I mean, even at the RNC, there was an absolute mess. And he was so kind to twice on 2 days offer his help and told me, don't worry about it. I'll help you whatever you need. And has always been a great friend in that aspect. But I didn't realize Mike Davis was also going after Gail on social either. So yeah, I'm kind of in a situation where there's two people who I truly do like and respect going after one another. And I just wanted to make it clear that I wasn't going after Mike Davis yesterday on air. Although I'm disappointed because I don't like these public feuds, I actually think this does more to hurt the movement rather than help the movement. I think a lot of these disputes should be handled behind closed doors because, again, I'm only here not because I'm looking to become a millionaire. I'm here because I truly wanted to save this country, as many have. I would be in sports still. If there was another option for me, I wouldn't be in this because politics is obviously a very messy, messy thing to get into. So, you know, how I want to kind of conclude this little rant that I have got for you today is I'm very upset with the online feuding. I don't agree with it. I don't want people to go after one another internally, people who I truly believe are looking to help this country. And so it's been quite upsetting. I don't like the media leaks. I don't like them going after Gail Slater. Gail Slater is a patriot, and I stand by those comments I made yesterday about her character. I do not believe she's a malicious person. I do not believe she plants stories about people. I do believe, though, that she was under attack over the DOJ by those who work internally at the DOJ. And I find that their behavior is unacceptable because it's not just Gail who's under attack. As you guys know, I previously reported about Ed Martin also being under attack as well. I've spoken to several sources who have told me about the efforts to uppercut Ed. We also know that Ed was relieved of his duties over at the weaponization group. And we're also told, based on reports, that the president didn't even know that the weaponization group was being dissolved. And obviously, that was very concerning. Now, Ed has put up posts
arguing that everything's okay now. But folks, I have with 100% confidence sources within the DOJ who tell me that there's a lot of issues here. Now, whether or not we want to smooth those issues out internally, I highly recommend they do just that. But people like Ed Martin, people like Gail Slater, people like Mike Davis, I truly do think are good people. But we've got a lot of issues here. And these issues need to be handled internally, not on places like Twitter. People don't need to be attacked. This is not productive, not productive. Now, Mike Davis did put up this tweet, and this was not my approval. But again, me and Mike spoke about this earlier today. I did voice my concerns about his tweets privately. And then he did, you know, say, hey, you call me. We're our friends. So we spoke on the phone. But my opinion on Gail Slater has not changed. My opinion on Mike still doesn't change either. I think both of them are great people. I think that this has a lot to do with miscommunications, plus maybe other people getting involved in all of this. And my wishes would be that this would just resolve by itself, no longer, you know, dropping tweets, no longer dropping anonymous sources in the mainstream media. I don't think it helps. Gail Slater's out at the DOJ and she's going to enjoy her life with her family and possibly get back into the private sector. But that's not her telling me that. That's just my suspicions. And, you know, Gail Slater, as well as Mike Davis, they have a platform on the show. I will always offer them the extension, the invitation, I should say, to come on here. But I don't want this to be a feud that's ongoing. I think it's not productive at all when we do just that. And, you know, I constantly am someone, and you could call me out on it, who applies public pressure over to the DOJ constantly, because I know that the DOJ is not doing the job that you and I both wanted done. I mean, this is why we elected President Trump. We wanted these deep state hacks we dragged off to prison. Right now, we're not seeing any proof that that's what's happening behind the scenes. And I get it. They say all the time, oh, you know, things happen. It's a process. But we saw what happened under the Biden regime. We saw how quickly they were able to step into the White House and to go after their political enemies. We're not asking for them to go after political enemies. We're asking for this DOJ to go after those who have tried their very best to destroy this country. It's not only throw President Trump in prison, but the rest of the individuals, thousands of Americans who were harassed by the federal government, many who were drawn into bankruptcy, who were attacked. I mean, this issue cannot go unresolved. These people have to go to prison. There's no settling here. There's no settling here. And when we sit here, we watch and we're told, oh, just wait, there's a process here. I cannot sit here and allow that to happen. I need to speak my views on this issue. Because folks, I was in the trenches with a lot of these folks who were being harassed by the government. I mean, so many J6ers who were unable to make their mortgage payments, worried about losing their homes. Those who were unable to just do something as simple as fixing a flat tire and being able to pay for that. I mean, they were reaching out to me. They were reaching out to a bunch of other people, Cynthia Hughes as well, for assistance. I privately was giving them funds to make sure that they could cover their expenses. I know Cynthia has done an incredible job as well over at the Patriot Project. Again, guys, this issue cannot go unresolved. We can't just sit back and watch as our DOJ just runs down the clock. And that is exactly what it is like. And I know a lot of people dispute it. Those who are, you know, working over the FBI and DOJ, they think that this is different. They would disagree with this assessment. But we're done with watching them run down the clock. I mean, how much more time do we have? We're getting closer and closer to midterms. Americans aren't seeing results. What's the motive for us to get out and vote for these midterm elections? I don't have any. And I can't sit here and sell you on a dream. I get it that if we lose these midterms, that Democrats will every single day be pushing for impeaching President Trump. And they're already doing that now. But if they're given the majority, then that will be their top priority. And it obviously stalls out the president's agenda. But guess what? You know what all stalls out the president's agenda? What's going on right now at the DOJ? What's going on right now in Congress? They're not doing enough for the American people. And that needs to be the focus here. So the American people, and I hear you guys all, you guys constantly am calling into the show, you're voicing your frustrations with this administration, and rightfully so, and rightfully so. You know, this administration isn't above giving us the answers when it comes to this accountability tour that I keep asking for. I get it, they're picking fights. And, you know, the Seditious Six, again, I saw that the grand jury, we reported this yesterday, the grand jury would not land charges on those involved in that video. I would say that's probably the least important battle that we need to be fighting right now is these individuals who decided to go out there and make a video. That is least important. That is a waste of resources because we know you're not going to land an indictment amongst a liberal grand jury. That's not even on my top 50 wishes the DOJ commits to. we've got to reassess. We've got to focus on all of this. I don't like the name calling, the black pill nonsense where they say, oh, you're criticizing the government. You're a black pillar, and they go after you. They attack you. It's amateur. It's what they did when they were trying to label us as conspiracy theorists, and it didn't work out. It didn't work out. We, the American people, demand more from our country, and there's no reason why we should allow anyone to sit there and say, no, 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 you can't actually demand more from your government. You are a taxpayer. You got to demand whatever you want from your country, from your government. And to sit back and watch what's happening right now, I am not okay with it. And I'm not going to stand for it. I'll continue to reach out to people in private when I notice that they're doing a pile up on social media. But publicly, I try to refrain from doing that. All right, let's switch gears after that little rant. Let's talk about this. This is actually a good story. We'll get clip six going right now, because clip six is another Caitlin Collins clip. But this one is actually a really interesting story that I think needs to be told. It gives credit to Caroline Leavitt, who is the press secretary for President Trump right now. And Collins is detailing the issue she had when she was in this, when she was in Saudi Arabia, and how the Saudis didn't actually want her coming into a briefing, it looks like, given the fact that she had just simply screamed out questions to President Trump. Now, you guys know that they don't like women. Take a listen to clip six.
When we were in Saudi Arabia and we were on a foreign trip with the president, and he came in with all the other leaders, including the Saudi crown prince. They famously do not like the media there.
Right.
To put it lightly. And I asked a shouted question to President Trump, who had seen me when the U.S. press came in. He didn't answer, which is, I mean, that's how it works. You shout questions, they either answer or they don't. It's mm-hmm. their prerogative. And then the world leaders left the room. The Saudi royal guard kind of freaked out because I dared to ask a question. And they're not used to that there because they don't have a free press. And so they came up and they said, okay, well, you can't come into the next event, which was like 2 minutes later. And I was like, that's not how this works. I go into the U.S. press and they were like, well, you're not coming in. And I could see them like whispering and pointing about me. And some of the younger White House staff that were, they are with the press weren't really sure what to do. And they went to Caroline. And to her credit, she said, no, Caitlin's coming in with the rest of the U.S. press. And mm-hmm. we went in. And so it didn't become this huge issue because mm-hmm. obviously if I had not been allowed in, you know, this is something that has happened with the North Koreans when the president visited the DMZ and Sarah Huckabee Sanders was the press secretary. And so to her credit, she without a doubt was like, no, you're coming in.
Right.
Which I do think is important in that moment, especially when you're kind of the U.S. contingent abroad and we don't do things like they do in Saudi Arabia.
Right. You see, that's a good story and it needs to be told because the reality of it is this White House, as they continue to deal with people accusing them of being biased and not favoring certain media outlets, that is a bold move for Caroline Leavitt to make and to push and to back, obviously, Collins. And I know the president's obviously been very outspoken about Collins and her coverage. So that's a win for the Trump administration that should be echoed. Folks, head on over to the Alex Jones Store right now, thealexjonesstore.com right now, because it's 52% off site-wide. It's our mega sale. It's going on right now. It's going to last for just a couple more days. 52% off site-wide. Again, I haven't seen a sale this great. Maybe it's been since Christmas. So it's a perfect time to stock up. And when you support us, you help keep us on air. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We truly support, well, we truly appreciate when you support us over at thealexjonesstore.com.
See through a rose-colored darkly. That means I'm trying to tell you the truth, but I'm not always right just about 98% of the time. And bad guys of every stripe don't want this show on the air. But you're the good guys. You have to decide, hey, this guy's a fighter. This guy stood up for this. This guy has an incredible track record. We want to support him. And then I'm going to sell you something that really works so you love it and you get it again and again. And Bigly, our great sponsor, those yellowshowstore.com, no matter what happens, InfoWars, we continue on the Alex Jones Network that's been built. So Key said, Alex, you keep getting it wrong. We don't have 84% reorder on Ultramethylene Blue. We don't have 76% reorder on the supplements and average. You're reading that wrong. That's on total customers. We have a 97% reorder from anybody that orders at thealexjonesstore.com. Well, that's a testament to you guys out there supporting us and how great the products are. Nobody, I mean, a site that has a 20% reorder is seen as successful. That is you being steadfast supporters, and I want to thank you. So we run the biggest sale of the year right now over 50% off on Ultra Methylene Blue, on the Bovine Colostrum, on the new Methylene Red that's proprietary to us, on the Shilajit Complex, the Irish Sea Moss, Atomic Defense, and more. But it's only run until next Monday. Got 6 days to take action. TheAlexShowStore.com. Takes money to fight a war. We're fighting a war. Plus, the products are great. So please, get yours now. Over 50% off, but it's an alert. Only a few days left. Thank you so much.
Week, a very, very long week. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. We've got a lot happening in the third hour of the program. Buckle up, folks. In the next segment, I'll be joined by two doctors. We've got a lot to talk about with them. Dr. James Thorpe will be joining the program as well, and he's a board-certified OBGYN, and we'll also be joined by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny as well. So we've got a lot to talk about with Tenpenny, I should say, in regards to measles. There's the new push. They're like, oh, you got to vaccinate everyone. Because it's measles outbreaks. We'll ask her about that. There's a lot there. And I think it's important for us to dive into that. We'll also be talking with Dr. Thorpe about this new scientist who are declaring that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has, it's causing blood clots, dangerous blood clots. Yeah, we've been telling you about that for, 6 years now? Yeah. But they're now talking about it, of course, because, on InfoWars, the news years ago, now the rest of the world's just catching up with us. I don't even understand how we can sit here and pretend like these people haven't known about this. It's been going on forever. But Dr. Thorpe will be joining us to discuss just that. So that's the exciting part. But I also want to focus on some other things as well. Now, as many of you guys know, yesterday I was very critical because I know a lot of people think that the Trump administration's bowing out in Minnesota, because Tom Homan did say they are pulling back federal agents there. In clip 5, I want to play this for you guys because he's talking about the drop down. And I want you to listen in specifically as to why he's talking about that. Take a listen.
Even though we're drawing down resources, we still want to have hundreds of special agents here drawn down on the fraud here from the Somali community and others. Those fraud investigations are going to continue until they're done. We're going to hold people responsible. We're also got investigators here doing the church investigations, including Don Lemon. We're not walking away from anything. We've achieved what we came here for. This is like any other surge operation. L.A., it ended. Los Angeles, it ended. Charlotte, it ended. New Orleans, it ended. This is ending the surge, but we're not going away. And let me say this. Over 800 flights a day land in St. Paul, Minnesota. If we need to come back, we'll come back.
So keep that in mind, folks. Here's what's going on, I think, behind the scenes. And this is me just kind of speculating here. There's been several people who've reached out to me from DHS over the last few weeks. And one of their greatest regrets was being so public about the raids that were going on throughout Minneapolis and throughout Minnesota. And it would have resulted in a lot of individuals picking up and leaving and fleeing the area. A lot of violent criminals, because they knew that ICE was in town and they were probably going to get scooped up in all of this. It also led to these left-wing groups going out there and sending people from all around the country to protest, to follow ICE, to harass them. And so it's made for their job to be significantly difficult. What I see this all meaning, I'm not going to say 100% this is what I think is happening again, because this is speculation rather than me issuing a report. I do believe that the administration is aware of what's happening on the ground and that they need to shift away the attention so they could go back over there and start capturing these people. But so far, they've grabbed up about 4,000 illegal aliens. And a lot of these individuals, again, are like rapists, murderers, the worst of the worst. And I continue to get the emails and share with you guys when I do get those emails. But there's just so many illegal aliens that are being picked up in all of this that are violent criminals. And so that's what I think is actually happening here. I think they're trying to deflect the attention from specifically Minneapolis. Now, we won't know if that conspiracy is true or not until we actually start seeing some more numbers. But I know they're also picking up operations in other places throughout the country, and I think it's probably for the best not to say those cities, not to say the names, because a lot of them are blue states and blue cities. And so they do their very best to push back to make sure that local law enforcement is not working with ICE. but also most importantly, to bring those agitators to those areas and try to make it as difficult as possible to commit to these mass deportations. So folks, I won't say it's a massive, massive white flag that's being thrown by the Trump administration, but yes, listening to it is obviously very disappointing, but I'm hoping there's some type of strategy behind all of this, and it's not just we're giving in to these left-wing agitators, of course. That would be extremely disappointing. All right, folks, buckle up. Third hour of the show, a lot to discuss in a bit. Kelsey Sharon is also joining the program as well. So we got a lot to discuss. Don't go anywhere on The American Journal.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Joining us to discuss this next big story in just a bit is going to be Dr. James Thorpe. We're excited that he's joining us today because it's a bombshell report, and I say that sarcastically, of course. But the rest of the world is starting to catch on what doctors like Dr. James Thorpe and others and myself have been trying to tell you for a while now, and that's that these COVID jabs are causing blood clots. And we were told, oh, no, that's not true. But now there are a group of scientists that have identified the cause of the, and they're saying, this is their words, not mine, the rare but dangerous blood clotting that came about with a Johnson & Johnson jab. As many of you guys know, this was, I believe this was one that was pulled off the market. But we weren't allowed to talk about any of this. Again, this new study, which was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, which was just recently published on February 11th, details just that. Now, again, they want to keep highlighting and they keep driving this point home that this is extremely rare. But again, I mean, we kept hearing these reports as soon as they started putting out these jabs, specifically the Johnson & Johnson one, that it was causing blood clots. Joining me to discuss about how these medical journals, a lot of them are just corrupt and their research is mostly junk, is Dr. James Thorpe. He is a board-certified OBGYN, and it is an honor to have him back on the program. Doctor, I want to thank you for being here. I got a good laugh when I saw this article. Obviously, it's a tragedy that people had to endure all of this, but we've been talking about this for years now. This isn't anything new, although this was just published earlier this week. I mean, we've known that the Johnson & Johnson jab and other jabs have been causing blood clots. What do you make of this report?
Well, it's very interesting. Jingjing Wang and colleagues, there's about 9 or 10 of them. They're all internationals from not in North America, to my knowledge. And so the article is interesting. But to make it clear to your audience, this is only one of the rare forms of blood clot compared with the other massive increase in blood clots with the vaccines. This is just one rare segment, and it's called vaccine-induced thrombotic thrombocytopenia. And I don't believe any of the nonsense in this captured New England Journal of Medicine, which is a corrupt kleptocratic journal that maybe we can talk about later, as are many of the rest of them. But this is not rare. Listen, and Brianna, and thank you for having me on. I know personally in the state of Florida, two individuals with vaccine-induced thrombotic thrombocytopenia in Florida in 2021. One of them was an OBGYN physician in South Florida, and the other one is Cody Hudson. So they're just in Florida. So this nonsense about this rare VITT, it's nonsense. It's not rare. If I know two of them in the state of Florida and I'm an OBGYN doc, no. But this is a separate, really minor contribution to the other clots that are massively killing and injuring the people from all the vaccines.
Yeah. And this is what's so concerning about all of this. And I want to do a little bit of a deep dive and get your take on all of this. Because like you said, the journals itself, and this is just a general overview of a lot of these medical journals. You just kind of detailed about how they're corrupt. And I kind of want to do a deep dive into all of this. I think this is really important for folks to understand. They always sound like these credible sources. And for folks who are not a doctor, when you hear about these studies, you think, okay, this is credible. This is something I could trust. But there's a lot behind the scenes that the American people need to know. So kind of break that down for us, give us some overview.
Yeah. So, Brianna, this has been going on for a century. It's accelerated in the last five decades. But listen, I'll quote a great review from May 7th, 2025 by Dr. Wojak in his writings. But and there's many more. But Wojak quotes has a picture of six editors-in-chiefs of the major journals, New England Journal of Medicine, Lancet, and British Medical Journal, right? They are whistleblowers. They themselves are editors-in-chief and saying that it's terminally corrupted, that these are the three most prominent medical journals in the world, Brianna. And their own internal staff, their chief editors, there they are. Look at their pictures on the screen. Look at their quotes, terminally corrupted and captured by their mouthpieces for the pharmaceutical industries and the medical industrial, manufacturing device industries. So garbage in and garbage out. So this is not the only one. So it's not only the editors themselves that have come out and done a mea culpa and blown the whistle, but listen, there's a study in 2017 by Liu and colleagues that clearly show that the editors receive large amounts of monies from the pharmaceutical companies, the editors themselves, right? So, and then there's this incredible article that was published in JAMA, last name Nguyen, Nguyen, from October 10th, 2024. And this is astounding. So the independent reviewers of the four most prominent medical journals in the world, JAMA, New England Journal of Medicine, BMJ, and Lancet. BMJ is British Medical Journal. So in just 3 years, Brianna, 2020, 2021, and 2022, in just the United States of America, the reviewers, the quote, supposed to be independent reviewers, received $1.06 billion. $1.06 billion. So they have the system captured from every which way. So the medical journals are publishing garbage. Anything that has to do with a pharmaceutical product or a medical device, it's ghost written and paid off. The editors are paid off. The peer reviewer that's supposed to be independent are paid off, and it's published. And that's how they get their money. So it's fraud. And remember, for our listeners here, when you go on Grok and you go on AI or ChatGPT, they're only going to draw from these corrupted journals. That's the way AI works. So you can't trust anything on AI when you go on and do a medical search. Now, one few exceptions might be, okay, medical issues that don't have anything to do with a medical device or with a pharmaceutical drug.
So now here's my question. How do we fix these issues? Because obviously, you know, we do rely on these medical journals to give us the truth. And if they're not doing so, this has got to be an issue that we could fix. So how do we go about that?
You're asking, how can we fix that? Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fixable. I think the public, I think you need to rely on authors and on publications. There are some journals that are not corrupted, but it's very dangerous. It's, all of the medical centers in the United States of America, the vast majority of them are also captured, and they publish or perish. So they have to publish this stuff. I think that, you know, I would go to Substacks where, like Dr. Wojak's Substack, mm-hmm. where he's not going to publish stuff that gains him money, and that is perverted. Or, you know, Dr. Peter McCullough and his Substack, John Leake and his writings. There's so many physicians that have broken away. There are some medical journals that I've published in that, that do not seem to be captured, will do peer reviewing and will publish, my work, Dr. McCullough's work and others.
Perfect. Well, that gives us a resource that we can all utilize at home. And, we look forward to that. Yeah. It's kind of a struggle to kind of sift through all of this and figure out what's the corruption. Is this a neutral source? And so this is definitely useful for us. I want to get to this before we go, though, because this is really important, too. You sent this over to us, and it's a Twitter thread regarding Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein. Our audience is very familiar with the fact that Bill Gates, as he continues to distance himself or try to distance himself from Epstein, continues to say that he was meeting with Epstein for financial reasons so they could fund science and the health incentives that he was trying to go out there, or the health efforts that he was trying to go out there and push for on a global scale. So he claims that he was just fishing for donations, but I mean, I didn't believe that, right? When you just think about the logic behind here, one of the richest men in the world is asking Jeffrey Epstein for money to fund, his donations or to look for donations. It didn't make any sense, but this thread kind of walks you through a little bit about what was happening behind the scenes and the allegations they're outlining. Walk us through what you find most concerning about the latest revelations that we're finding out about Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Gates.
Yes. So, Brianna, I've described six tiers of publication bias mm-hmm. or medical journal corruption, and this is number one. What we're finding out, which was just released in the Epstein files, is they were influencing ResearchGate. ResearchGate has been what they claim to be an independent source of medical journals. So this is like the medical journals that own, the companies that own vast numbers of medical journals, like, Elsevier and others. So they're actually way above controlling them. Not only are they harvesting, firsthand data for their own benefit by being and owning and, getting and intertangled with ResearchGate, but more concerningly, is what they're doing is putting pressure on those individuals in ResearchGate or the journals or whatever that will also exclude publications or include publications to push their narratives. Mm-hmm. Like specifically, what would Gates be wanting to push? I mean, what do you, obviously, right? Vaccines. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a eugenicist. You know, he wants the population reduced. As he said in his TED talk, we can do it with vaccines.
Yeah.
So, that's just a utterly catastrophic additional top tier of publication bias and why, the medical journals by and large are garbage.
Yeah, well, it's frustrating, but we're sifting through it, and we're glad we have you on our side to tell us what we can believe and what we can't. Well, we shouldn't believe at all. Dr. James Thorpe, thank you for joining the program as always. It's an honor to have you on the show, and our audience greatly appreciates the information that you bring to us every day. So thank you so much. We appreciate it.
God bless you, and thank you for having me on, Brianna.
God bless you, and it's always a pleasure, my friend. Folks, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about measles. Yeah, this is what you want to talk about on a Friday morning. There seems to be this new push for the vaccines, mainly citing the measles outbreaks that are popping up all across the country. Dr. Oz is weighing in on just that in clip one. Take a listen.
About a record surge in measles in the United States. South Carolina, for example, is currently reporting 800 cases. It's the worst outbreak since measles was declared eradicated more than three decades ago. Is this a consequence of the administration undermining support or advocacy for measles and other vaccines?
I don't believe so. We've advocated for measles vaccines all along. Secretary Kennedy's been on at the very front of this.
Oh, movement. Come on.
No, he is. But when the first outbreak happened in Texas, he said, get your vaccines for measles, because that's an example of an ailment that you should get vaccinated against. What happened with the core schedule that was released in the beginning of last month was to say, listen, we look at what happened in Europe. In Europe, if you give people 80 different vaccine doses to take, people start.
But I'm specifically talking about measles here. I mean, you talked about RFK Jr., the group Children's Health Defense that he founded and ran up until 3 years ago, posted on X, despite the media's scare tactics, there's no reason to fear measles. Should people fear measles?
Oh, for sure. And we actually are pretty aggressive at CMS. We fund any vaccine you want to take. There will never be a barrier to Americans get access to the measles vaccine.
And, as a doctor, your message to people about the measles vaccine
is? Take the vaccine, please. We have a solution for a problem. Not all illnesses are equally dangerous, and not all people are equally susceptible to those illnesses. But measles is one you should get your vaccine.
All right. Joining me to discuss just that is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She's joining the show today to detail her reaction to Dr. Oz and many others pushing for those to get the measles jabs. Dr. Tenpenny, I want to thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you. I think this is a very fascinating push that we have going on right now. We have members of this administration telling the American people to get the measles vaccine. Now, obviously, there's a lot of hesitancy given what we've seen during the COVID pandemic, where they were pushing vaccines and telling people to get these vaccines when they weren't safe, when they weren't even effective. But now we're talking measles here. So, do you agree with Dr. Oz's assessment on all of this, and what would you like to see done?
Well, I don't agree with the assessment. I think that, again, this is something that should be individualized. And I don't understand when in time measles became a hysteria, because back before the measles vaccine came out in 1963, measles was treated just like a flu. And that kids stayed home from school and they thought of it as a holiday. It was only years and years ago, like hundreds of years ago, that measles was a very serious infection, that they eventually boiled it down to it being a nutritional deficiency, primarily with vitamin A, that children who were born into poverty conditions that didn't have good nutrition, that they were depleted with vitamin A from their diet, first of all. And second of all, back in those days, you didn't have a supplement of vitamin A that you could give kids while they were actively having measles. Because what measles does, what the measles virus does, is it depletes vitamin A from your system. And even the World Health Organization knows this and talks about it. So measles became a hysteria, I think, more recently, actually since 1963, when the vaccine was released. The 2 years, the year before the measles vaccine was released, the death rate from measles was 2 in 1,000,000. And that is CDC data that I have the actual original documents for that can prove that. So the death rate was extraordinarily low before we even had a vaccine. And so now it's become a what about measles? Well, measles is, what is measles? It's a viral infection that is a fever, a cough, a rash, sometimes some diarrhea. Complications of measles can be pneumonia, and that is where one of the treatment, why one of the treatments of giving measles, I'm sorry, giving vitamin A to kids who are actively having measles can really, really be an adjunctive treatment that cuts down the risk of complications like pneumonia, diarrhea, things like that. And you can give vitamin A dosages up to 50,000 IUs a day, even in children under 6 months of age. That's a typical dosing treatment, 50,000 units a day for 2 days. Children are under 6 months. If they're between 6 months and a year, it's 100,000 units of vitamin A a day for 2 days. And older than that, it's 200,000 units of vitamin A a day for 2 days. and that will help the body to rid that virus. It's not an antiviral. It doesn't work that way. So when Dr. Oz says, oh, yes, everyone should be fearful of measles, I think people need to know what measles is and they know how to appropriately treat it. I know Dr. Oz very well. I've known him for many, many years on a personal level. He's an adult physician. He's a cardiovascular surgeon, doesn't treat kids, and doesn't treat kids with measles. So I think that some of what he said was the party line of what we, what our CDC and NIH and even HHS says is that we have to be hysterical about measles when I don't think we need to be hysterical at all.
Yeah. Well, I didn't understand that either. And so I'm glad you kind of explained that for us because I didn't understand what the hysteria was over this. And, it's interesting to hear them pushing it. I mean, it's not what we expect from this administration. And I also want to get to this clip as well in clip two, because Bernie Sanders on the Hill was asking the NIH director, Jay Pachauri, about vaccines and whether they cause autism or not. And it was an interesting back and forth. Take a listen to clip two.
There is deep mistrust. Do you think that deep mistrust now has something to do when you have an organization like the American Medical Association telling us that vaccines do not cause autism, but you have a secretary of HHS who says the very opposite? Do you think that causes concern and mistrust among parents?
You know, Senator, in 2024, there was a study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association that said that only about 40% of patients still trust their doctors. As someone who went to medical school myself, is absolutely shocking. And that's before Secretary Kennedy took office. We have to address this distrust, but it has to be a bipartisan effort.
Let me ask you a simple question. Tell the American people, I appreciate your thoughts on measles. Do vaccines cause autism? Tell that to the American people. Yes? No.
I do not believe that the measles vaccine causes autism.
No. I didn't ask measles. Do vaccines cause autism?
I have not seen a study that suggests any single vaccine causes autism.
Okay, thank you.
All right, what's your reaction to that? Because I know that there's been plenty of studies on. We have about 2 minutes left. I'll let you take the floor.
And the follow-up sentence that Jay Bhattacharya should have said was, there is no single study that proves vaccines cause autism. There is also no single study that proves it doesn't, because only isolated vaccines have been studied, and they've only been studied one at a time. The cumulative effect of children that primarily can get anywhere from 5 to 7 vaccines on one vaccination day, which we call a well baby visit, has never been studied. And so and when you look at the package inserts and you look at the side effects and they talk about encephalitis, encephalopathy, well, what is that? That's inflammation of the brain, and encephalopathy means that there's inflammation that leads to dysfunction. What is autism? It is a dysfunction of the brain. And so there is a lot of evidence that shows that there are conditions that we need to be looking at more carefully, and we need to be listening to parents. Tens of thousands of parents across the country have experienced the changes in their children firsthand after a vaccine, any one of the vaccines, not just MMR, but it can be any one of them. And now that the autism rate has dropped to 1 in 31, I think that the public health departments across this country need to get a message that public health is much more than just high vaccination rates and low infection rates. Because what we have accomplished that with high vaccination rates, low infection rates, and what is the result? 76% of the children across this country are chronically ill. We have the worst epidemic of chronically ill children of any country in the world. And I think that we're not addressing the elephant that's sitting in the middle of the room, which is, what are vaccines doing to these kids? And what are vaccines doing to the health of these kids?
Yeah, well, that needs to be the main focus here. And I know, Dr. Tenpenny, that is yours. And we are incredibly grateful for you jumping on today to break this all down for us. So thank you for being here. Folks at home, if you want to give her a follow on X, it's @BusyDRT. Give her a follow. We appreciate it. We look forward to having you back on soon, Dr. Tenpenny.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, folks, buckle up. We got more to discuss in the next segment. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It is 52% off site-wide. It is our mega sale, and we've got it going on right now at the shop. Hoodies, hats, everything you want right now, 52% off. Just head on over to the shop. It's going to be over in a few days, so do it right now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Let
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. All right, earlier in the week, we had a guest at the program, and she was detailing an incredible report that had my jaw hitting the ground. We didn't have enough time to go over more details on all of this. Also, when she jumped off air with us, she called me, she FaceTimed me, she said, Brianna, you'll never guess what I just found. And she found more and more and more. I'm talking about, they like to call it, they're euthanizing those who are dealing with terminal illness. And so the government likes to make you feel all warm and fuzzy on the inside like you're helping someone out, but the reality of it is it's not the case.
Kelsey Sharon joins the program. She was hosting yesterday the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show, so she's had quite the busy schedule, and she's with us now. Honored to have you back on the program. I know that you have been digging into all of this. You found more information about how widespread this is all happening right now here in the United States. I mean, like I detailed earlier in the week when we had you on, we spoke maybe like 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and you were talking about how it was going on in Canada. It was heading to the U.S. now, but you found more states where this movement is making its way into. So I'm going to let you have the floor from here on out. Tell us what you've just uncovered.
Well, thanks for having me back, guys. I know it has been a busy week. I'm sorry for all of those that are sick of my face and the death cult, but here we go again. So the 14 jurisdictions that are available in America are ones I listed yesterday, but it bears going through them again so people can understand where to protect their loved ones. So they go, currently we have Maine, Hawaii, California, Colorado, Delaware, Illinois, Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Vermont, Washington State, Washington, D.C. And as of a few weeks ago with the Governor Kathy Hochul, I believe is her last name, mm-hmm. New York was added to that list. Now, the reason this is really important to pay attention to is because there is a pro-death cult organization. It is a nonprofit in America that is literally funded to the tune of $33 to $35 million a year. So these people are highly funded individuals, and they have put forward a plan to expand into America. And they stated in their most recent, I guess you call it like YouTube video that they were doing, bragging about all the people they've been able to get legalized to kill, was by 2028, half of the United States adult population will live where medical aid in dying is accessible according to Compassion and Choices. That should literally rattle every single American because they have not only put in plans, they have the funding to put in said plans. They've also hired the Rabin Group. And if you guys don't know anything about the Rabin Group, I promise you I've been educating myself all week. And this is one of those political groups that has insane funding, crazy reach, and they work with all of the hard left leaning. So they represent the Obama Foundation. They represent the Bill Gates Foundation. They work with Disney. They work with all of the largest organizations, and they work with a lot of these very, you know, LGBT, Black Lives Matter type groups. And I say that like respectfully, that's just kind of who their specialty is. So they brought one of their individuals on to talk about and brag about the 18 states that they have planned to expand in 2026, which include key states such as Nevada, Virginia. Now, the bills that they have put forward are extensive. They've either rolled over from 2025 now into 2026, but there's a couple key locations they've targeted. They've said, even if we do not have bills, and they've targeted them specifically based on demographic and age. So those are Florida and Arizona. And I am sure, darling, you can imagine why Florida and Arizona are on the chopping block for the predominantly white, wealthy and worried individuals, as my friend Alex Schadenberg says. So Florida itself has no bill currently, but they are looking and have stated that they have got boots on the ground in these more libertarian, conservative areas where they're trying to change the mindset. So they're taking the time to fund all of these tiny little organizations in Florida to go around and do what Dying with Dignity did in Canada, which is manipulate the population into believing they should kill themselves. And then manipulate the population into believing that there's no point in living because of their age. So Florida has no bill, but they are looking at pushing one forward here this year. Indiana is also on the list. That started in 2025 with Representative Matt Pierce. There's a House bill called 1011 on there. Arizona, again, on January 20th, 2026, HB 2569. Iowa, which I know is a battleground state for you guys, so I would hope this one would become an issue there where you guys can pay attention. Kentucky, Mass, Minnesota, Missouri, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, Tennessee, Virginia. And the crazy part that most people don't realize is that in America, certain states like Oregon and Vermont have no residency requirement, meaning you guys have death tourism now, just like Switzerland does in Dignitas. So people in America can hypothetically get up from Texas or anywhere else, and they can go to Oregon and Vermont and be killed by a doctor. So grab that one-way ticket and just head there. And I guess, like my friend Alex says, ashes don't really need a plane ticket to come back now, do they? As morbid as that sounds.
I know. And it's so heartbreaking when you talk about it, though, because, again, I mean, like, we don't normally think Florida is somewhere this, they would be kind of like, you know, trying to push this in. But our elderly population is very significantly high in Florida. How do we save? I know a lot of people think this tends to happen in blue states, and that's how we opened earlier in the week. I truly thought it was blue states. How do we save these red states? Because so many of these individuals aren't talking about what's happening on the ground there, and I think this is going to catch people off guard. So how do we save those states at least?
Well, there's a couple things that can be done, right? So when we take a look at the states that have been euthanizing the population, so I use the word euthanizing because that's what Canada does, but you guys have been mating the population. So the difference again, I know you've heard me repeat it. The difference is in Canada, we inject you like lethal injection with IVs, and then we push the poison. In America, we provide you a cup filled with the same poison, slightly different depending on, and we actually set it in front of you. And then we say, drink the poison in front of a doctor. Now, the way that we stop this in America, and this may seem, I may be reaching here. I'm just a podcaster, love. RFK needs to get involved. Donald Trump needs to get involved in this very quickly. Because at this point, the states, the way you guys work in America versus Canada is your states actually have backbones. Your states actually stand up to the federal government. And that may be good or bad, but in this situation, you guys have the opportunity currently to stop this dead in its tracks. Whereas Canada's so far gone, we're currently expanding into the mentally ill in 2027. And then the parliamentary committee has already put reports with CAMAP, Dying with Dignity, and other sick, like Sick Kids Children's Hospital, advocating that we should be expanding to children 0 to 1. And I also send you guys some things on that where they discussed, you know, some of the College of Physicians in Quebec in 2022 and then reiterated again in August of 2025 that we should be able to euthanize children 0 to 1 if they're born with some malformality that is so difficult to live with and so troublesome to the parents. Now, children don't have informed consent. This is not something I believe is acceptable behavior. Abortion is one conversation. We don't have to go there right now. But if they can't get you an abortion, they're going to kill your kids in any other way if there's an issue. So I personally know of children who were told they were going to be disabled and came out perfectly fine. So I can't even imagine having this conversation. Now, if we are not able to get the federal government's attention in America, you're going to have to go to the state level. And that means we have to have boots on the ground advocates. And that's good. And I think it's possible, but we need a concerted effort within the more conservative Republican side of things to step forward, whether that's through influencers, whether that's through other podcasters. We need to make so much noise in these states where they're talking about legislation that no one is paying attention to. Otherwise, RFK has to step in. Donald Trump has to step in and say, I get it. They want to put the PECHA bill back forward, but we can't do it because they're changing the language around that. And if you allow that bill to go forward, actually, even though it's for palliative care and end of life, you have to understand the Rabin Group, as well as Compassion and Choices, are currently working to change the language amongst the American population to call MAID end of life care. So it will actually get funded, even though Bill Clinton in 97 put this bill forward and said no federal funding for assisted death, but this is how you get the loophole. So there aren't really safeguards here. So I'm doing my own investigative work right now where I've actually called Compassion and Choices. I've got some audio recordings going to come out in the next few weeks where I'm basically showing how easy it is to break through these loopholes. And in America, you only have what's called track one, which means you have to be terminally ill, only 6 months left to die. You have to be qualified by 2 doctors, all of these things. Canada had the same stuff. And now we just killed the kid who was 26 with diabetes and depression. So there is a slippery slope, but we do need intervention. I'm up against what I would consider, at least in Canada, based on the healthcare system. And you know, America's going to dwarf Canada's death numbers. We just are about to hit 100,000 deaths since 2016, which saves already, as the laws are written, over $117 billion in not providing healthcare. And so America is going to be, if this spreads the way it looks like it's spreading, this is going to save your government so much money. The incentive is not something one or two or even five of us can stop. I need meetings. I need conversations. I need to be in front of these senators. I need to be in front of these people. And I hate to admit it, but I need to be in front of your president to get him to understand what's about to happen, because not only do these states look like they are going to pass these bills, You also have states that refuse to report the amount of deaths and the amount of prescription drugs that they are giving. Now, those drugs are non-FDA approved for killing. The majority of your states that used to have the death penalty stopped it because they believed the death penalty was cruel and unusual punishment. And then they replaced it with MAID. It's the same drugs, same protocol. It is the same way you die. It is not painless. We have a postmortem autopsy by Dr. Joel Zivit out of Emory State University, who's a Canadian who moved down to America. He specializes in critical care and anesthesiology. He did the first postmortem autopsy. And out of those people who were lethal injection patients, they showed 80% had heavy lungs, which is indicative of drowning to death or death by waterboarding. He said this at the Canadian Senate in 2021, and Canada told him to politely shut up. So these drugs are not peaceful. This is not a peaceful process. I understand dementia and Alzheimer's are an aggressively hard thing to watch someone you love go through, or cancers, but I promise you these drugs are not peaceful, and they will not help somebody leave in a manner that you want to witness.
Yeah. And that's the part that's so devastating here. And I want to kind of hover over what's going on in Canada right now. I know you just talked about it, but specifically the children element to all of this. I know for our audience sake right now, when you hear that they're trying to put children down, over possible disabilities that they might have, I mean, that tears at your heartstrings because they're children. How does this even happen in Canada? I mean, that's what has me so infuriated right now. How are they even able to tell Canadians that this is a sensible idea that they need to expand on and start participating in? This doesn't make any sense to me. I don't even understand how Canadians are okay with this.
Well, I think you guys have to understand the political landscape in Canada is a lot different than what the media shows you, right? So you have the very paid for liberal media, CBC, CTV, Global News, National Post, all of these. And these are all paid for on an actual payroll by the Liberal government, have been for 10 years. It's a known. This isn't conspiracy. They show the paychecks to a tune of $1 billion a year. And these groups have infiltrated our government. So Dying with Dignity in 1999 started lobbying the government. You have to understand how far back this goes. The Trudeau, original Trudeau, like the first one, he, in his own foundational reports, discussed assisted dying as something that Canada should be doing and mimicking Denmark and Switzerland. And, you know, I have to remember, over in Europe, they already euthanize children. So this is not a jump. This is not a leap. But now Canada is falling into the same trap, just like any other Commonwealth nation is. Australia does this. New Zealand does this. The UK looks like they have a bill going forward, but hopefully it will be stopped. And what happened to Canada over the past 10 years that people don't fully grasp, unless you're in the country, is that Canada fell to a tyrannistic monster named Justin Trudeau, who lied and lied and lied. And then when COVID happened, he broke the Canadian psyche in such a manner that he was boot stomping women and kids and grandmothers during a protest, and now we've now won in court, in the Supreme Court, saying that what he did was unconstitutional. Yet he's still walking around dating Katy Perry, flying around on jets, and nothing's happening to these people. We just gave $2.5 billion to one of the most corrupt governments in the world in Ukraine. We just gave another $375 million between 2021 and 2025 to the freaking Taliban. So this government has broken its society and told us through our own banks, lower your quality of life. That is the only way you're about to get through. Canada is crashing into a recession. Canada has literally taken the minds of the hardworking Canadian-born citizens and said, you know what? We're not going to provide you guys good health care anymore. Over 20,000 of you are going to die per year on a waiting list. 1.2 million left ERs last year because people couldn't get seen. Kids are dying. And they're saying to us that we're all delusional. And then we're wondering why now Canadians are choosing to end their lives. 96, America was 95, but 96% of Canadians that are using MAID and being coerced into MAID. And we have proof of coercion. You guys can read on my Substack or on the Kelsey Sharon Perspective YouTube. We have proof of coercion where 96% of those people are white and we are being replaced by other nations. Over 1.2 million immigrants have been brought in since last year into Ontario, and they've just removed the voter requirement in Ontario alone. So not even permanent citizens, they get the option to vote now. So this feels like the Biden era for us. And now we have Mark Carney, who has broken our economy, broken our minds, broken our healthcare system, and then said, you know what? The only solution we have to offer is death. and people are taking it because they're so sad, so desperate. And this is not my just words. We have people on record who are disabled, friends of mine who were offered. We have homeless. We have our veterans. And these are not small things. You already had Compassion and Choices, like I said, when I was hosting the show yesterday. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Compassion and Choices stated that they want the PETCHA bill to go forward so they can increase visibility on places like Veterans Affairs America. So if you think this starts and it just stays at the terminally ill and your grandmother, I promise you, that was supposed to be us in 2016, and then they amended in 2021, and now they're amending in 2027. So where do you think this goes? This is eugenics, my friends, and it is not small, and it is not stopping.
Yeah, well, that's the part that's really concerning about all of this. And folks, right now, head on over if you have YouTube. Give her a follow. The Kelsey Sharon Perspective is where you're going to want to do just that. Kelsey, I appreciate you jumping on with us and breaking this all down for us because we ran out of time last time. I was like, no, okay. I've got more questions. So it's a pleasure to have you back on, so thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you guys for being so willing to listen to such a dark subject, because I believe we can actually stop this in America, and this is why I'm putting so much intention into your country. So please call your senators, call your representatives, call whoever you can and tell them, please just stay with us, because this is not an option to end your life.
Yeah, this is not an option, and we're thankful for you jumping into this fight and voicing your concern. So thank you, folks. I know we talked about, well, we teased this briefly on X. I want to make sure we get to the story. It's in regards to a Goldman Sachs chief legal officer and general counsel. This is one of their lead attorneys. Now, she was wrapped up into the Epstein files. Kathy Rumbler is her name. She has just announced her resignation from the group, the company, Goldman Sachs, obviously. Apparently, she's wrapped up into these Epstein files, and she's very close, according to a lot of these reports, with the convicted, keyword here, sex offender, including friendly emails with XOXO. And she apparently was the recipient of lavish gifts, such as Hermes handbags, cost roughly a little over $9,000. So she's bowing out. Goldman Sachs thanked her for her service and took her resignation. And they're pretending like everything's A-OK. Yeah, well, listen, folks, I think these Epstein files are going to get worse and worse and worse as more digging is done into all of this. But I mean, the fact that these people were so comfortable communicating with an actual pedophile is just mind blowing to me. Although they'll pretend like, oh, we weren't a part of any of the craziness that was going on Epstein Islands, but we were just sending emails, XOXO, to Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, he's a convicted sex offender. More needs to be done. These people need to be shamed, publicly shamed. There's no justification for going along and working and trying to do business deals. Again, we talked about Bill Gates earlier. What the heck are you doing sending emails to this man? It's an absolute, absolute disgrace. Let's shift gears a little bit. I saw this picture and it got me like grossed out. The governor of Virginia now, Governor Abigail Spanberg, is out there cooking. And I don't know if she's cooking this for Somalians, because she's definitely not cooking this for Americans. It literally looks like rat meat. And I zoomed in on one of them. I think there's a bone on there. Folks, I am a carnivore, and so I know a good steak when I see one. That's not steak. That might be your house cat. There's definitely something there. It looks like crap. If you're listening audio only, let me explain this to you. This kind of looks like red meat, very thin, doesn't look good. Looks very unseasoned. There's one of them when you zoom in on the far right side, and it's like, looks like there's a bone on it almost. But it's on top of it. If you didn't think Chuck Schumer could be out, let's just say, outdone with putting a piece of cheese on a raw hamburger patty that has not even on one side touched the grill. I mean, Democrats, when they do this fake nonsense, when they pretend like, we're one of you, look at us cooking. Oh, man. All right, I like this one. This is Chuck Schumer working at McDonald's. He can't do it like President Trump can, though. Folks, it's an absolute disgrace, these people. They can't even do photo ops properly. But that's the left for you. That's the left. No surprise there. Good news. It's actually turning into my favorite fast food place. I don't eat fast food often. But the fast food chain Steak and Shake is banning all microwaves from its restaurants. And this is actually another step toward becoming a little bit of a healthier fast food chain. Now, as many of you guys know, they ditched the seed oils. They were very public about doing that. And they've now moved over to beef tallow. Now, a lot of their, this is a disclaimer, I haven't seen the update on it, but a lot of people are accusing the company of pre-cooking the fries in seed oils and then bringing it to the restaurant and cooking in beef tallow, which obviously is just a negative. There's no benefit to that. But I think it was really interesting that now they're also banning the microwaves. Okay, so I worked at Applebee's, and this isn't a, this might not be happening at all at Applebee's. They are franchise owned, but the one that I was working at, we used to joke and say the head chef was the microwave, which is pretty gross when you think about it. But I loved working there. We got like, okay, so my, one of my favorite things to do was to try all the food. It was a nightmare of a job, but the lead chef at Applebee's, and I was a hostess at first and I became a waitress after, was my very first restaurant job. And, go to your crazy story. There was a crazy man. We called him Patchy. Now we got some time, downtime. Let's just go off the hinges here. When I worked at Applebee's, there was a man named Patchy, and he was very sketchy of a guy. And we all knew that he lost his eye because he had a patch on his eye. That's how he got his nickname, in prison. So Patchy was working. He was the grill master, and I never spoke to Patchy, never wanted to take him off because I knew Patchy was on his, he was not doing too good. Patchy had a drug addiction that he was battling, and unfortunately for Patchy, we were working one day. It was a holiday. It might have been New Year's. But we were all working one day, and all of a sudden a group of people came in. They went after Patchy. They were trying to find him in the back. They dragged him out to the front. They threw him in a car, a trunk specifically, and they tried driving off before police got there. We found out that Patchy had actually just killed someone. And that was the family coming to get Patchy. So that was what it was like working for Applebee's. You guys are learning a lot of stories about me between my days at Target. I mean, I hustled. I don't know if I should disclose it. It was on Long Island. It was on Long Island. If you look up a guy who worked at Applebee's who was murdered or who murdered someone, I mean, I think Patchy was convicted of this. Yeah. Patchy was the kind of guy you don't mess with, right? Because the nickname Patchy, with the guy with the patch over his eye who tells you he lost his eye in a prison fight, you don't really push back much on those type of people. So I don't even think I told my parents that story. I've worked at a lot of restaurants. I've worked at a lot of Target, as I disclosed to you before. I also worked at a pizzeria that's no longer in business called Lucarelli's that was in Comac, New York. That one was also a little sketchy. I would argue with the owner of Lucarelli's about getting my dollar raise. There you go. That's me in Target. Might be AI generated. Who knows? But I would argue with the owner of Lucarelli's for an extra dollar raise. I was paid $6 an hour off the book, off the books. And my mom would joke and tell you that I argued like nonstop for an extra dollar an hour after working there for a year. And the owner of Lucarelli's, Mike Lucarelli, literally was just like, done. All right, just take it and go. And then a couple of years later, they went out of business. I think it was the landlord who didn't want to renew the lease because the pizza was actually really good. But my mom will tell you, if you ask her, that because I asked for that extra dollar raise, that I was the one that got Lucarelli shut down because they couldn't afford to pay me that extra dollar, which was a lie because they were making good money. I know, I was running the register. All right, that's too much information about me for today. Thanks for jumping on to the American Journal with us, guys. The Alex Jones Show is starting up next. In the meantime, though, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. It is 52% off site-wide. That sale's not going to last forever, and it's one of our top sales. They got to head on over to the shop, the alexjonesstore.com right now, and jump in on the sale before it's too late. Have a great weekend. I'll catch you here on Monday.
People can use this as a teaching moment that, you know, I see a lot of these people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones, and they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it. Just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles, because you understand the broader course of history. how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at what's, how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing. And you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra methyl.